This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Hello!
Hello!
It's Barry from Watford.
And it's Angela Shipperfing you from Neasden, although I don't tend to say where I'm from.
No. And this is...
Irrelevant.
It's...
Angela.
And Barry.
And Barry.
No French.
No.
Up you.
On FUBAR Radio.
On FUBAR Radio. It's English, so...
Totally English.
Up yours.
Delos.
That was...
That's the jingle.
That's the jingle. Or this
Barry
one.
And Angelos on FUBAR Radio.
Well, now we've got that out of the way.
The jingle's out of the way. Let's start the show.
Let's go. We're live.
Two, three, four.
From Barbados. Barry and
play
Angela.
Some reggae to kick us off.
Yeah, here we go, Barry. With this, the reggae style of Wiley.
Wiley reggae.
This is Wearing My Rolex. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go.
Booyaka.
Booyaka. Oh, where we started.
Usually not Rolex.
The end of that.
From Barbados.
Live from Barbados.
We're staying at the Hotel Excelsior.
Yes, I'm in the Premier Inn up the road.
Yeah. And I rolled out of bed this morning. I've got a valet.
Who did you see?
The valet.
Oh, the valet.
And
yeah.
He's down in my room immediately, yeah. Cleaning my sunglasses.
Oh, that's nice.
Throwing the bed covers off of me.
Oh.
Helping me to the toilet.
Well, you know, like, you pay your money, mate. This is what you get.
This is what you get. What did you get at your place
for
that?
Well, when I arrived at the hotel at Premier Inn, I pulled up in my little Suzuki van.
Yes.
And I took the keys straight off of me.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen that van since.
Right, see,
I don't think the bloke that took the keys off me
was the car van
at the hotel. No, no, but, you know, I thought, well, this service is fantastic.
Second to none.
Second to none. I went into the hotel and I checked in via the electronic check-in. And I got my card, went upstairs to my room and just lay on the bed and opened the curtains and stared at that brick wall outside my window for about half an hour. I thought, this is absolute bliss.
You cannot put a price on privacy.
No, exactly.
Can you?
Exactly. That's what I said. I'd like a private wall-facing room.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what they've given me.
And then, presumably, you ain't got a minibar, but there is a vending machine that does Twixes and that, isn't there?
Yeah, there's Twixes in there. There's a lot of lilts in there.
There's a totally tropical taste.
Yeah, because you're in Barbados.
Yeah.
And then a little bit later on, I'm going to wander down to the beach.
Yeah.
After we broadcast, I saw Simon Cowell.
Broadcast, that, yeah.
That's the term for being on the radio.
And making up as you go along.
That's right.
Tell me, the thing
that
I...
A lot of famous people here in Barbados.
What, staying at the Premier Inn?
Yeah, it's a lot of... Well, they come over here, right, and they get seen on the beach. They get seen on the beach in their knickers and that.
Yeah.
But where they're saving the money is by staying at the Premier Inn.
That's how they do it.
That's what they do.
That's what the clever money does.
That's what they do. That's why the rich stay rich, mate.
Isn't it true that someone come in the other day? They keep it fairly clean. It's not really shit.
It's not mucky.
But someone come in and Sunita had been in and they were complaining about marks in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Was that true? She
Well, she'd left like bog roll everywhere.
Bog roll
right,
everywhere.
All bunged up in the bog.
Why do they do that, these stars?
I don't know why they do that. I don't know. I think it's because of, like, you know, like, what these stars is used to is just excess.
Yeah.
You know, excess.
That's
and it is excess in all areas of their life, okay?
Yeah.
So when they go out, they drink to excess. When they are, like, taking drugs, and I'm not saying any of them do, they do it to excess.
Yeah.
And when they sit down on the bog and use toilet roll, they will use
an excessive amount
of it, and then, of course, you can't get it up the U-bend.
Well, exactly.
And that is what other people have to look at.
When they go to the salad bar, eat as much as you... Like, common courtesy and self-respect would say you don't,
you don't
pile
clear
it up.
The place out.
But I've seen, you know, oh goodness me, Kim Wilde.
Yeah.
At the Premier Inn off the A41 near Watford. She went in there, she had salads, pickled eggs, all the pickles.
Yeah, croutons.
Croutons on the tart, sprinkling the cheese, gherkins, ham.
Sliced carrot and raisin.
She had the lot of radishes, which no one eats, only eats in those. And you know, she done Kim Wilde, because she's used to the world of excesses.
Excess,
she said, I'll leave it, don't want it.
Oh, what, she just left the radishes
she
on
left
the
lot.
Oh, the lot.
She left the lot.
Oh, well, it
she picked,
shit,
a, picked a bit of cucumber, and then she just left.
What she did?
Clear that out. I'm going up to the toilet to stuff the U-bend.
Oh, go and chuck that in the bin, mate.
Chuck it in the bin.
I don't give a shit.
Could I have a cup of coffee, please? Yes, madam, I'll get you coffee.
Mind you.
I don't want it.
Mind you, them like Chinese buffets.
Yeah, the Chinese.
They're good, aren't they? I mean, I think when they say, eat as much as you like, I interpret that as eat as much as you can stuff down your throat.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, without chucking up.
This is how they get you.
This is what they do. This is what they do, Barry. Very conniving.
Peoples.
Yeah.
And I've been... For any of our Chinese friends listening, it was...
Some of them are owned by English people.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And I had one recently, because the thing is that 20 minutes later, you want more anyway.
Oh, that's right. So the trick is, so just like, take it from someone.
It's not a race.
Don't just chuck it down your throat.
No.
Or else if you are going to go that way, chuck it down your throat. Wait. For 20 minutes in the restaurant.
Yes.
And when they come past and they go, you're finished. You just sit there, mate. And you go, listen, I'll tell you when I finish.
Yeah, I've paid me £5.99.
You leave that plate there, son.
Yeah.
I'm having 20 minutes rest and I'm going out for more.
That's right.
You want to chuck me out, you just bloody try.
Well, they stick all that MSG on it and it's so very Moorish.
Isn't it?
It's so versatile an ingredient.
Yeah.
And so I had some salty chicken wings.
And they are salty.
Very salty.
They are salty.
Salted, what's it called? Calamari.
Squid?
Salted squid.
All right.
I've had that there. And you wake up at 2, 3, 4 in the morning and you've got a terrible dry throat.
You have,
And that's how they get you.
Yeah, I know.
No matter what you do, you know, you still want more.
You're chugging back glasses of water. But it's, you know what, it's only at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Like when you wake up in bed and your mouth is like feeling like Gandhi's slipper.
Yeah.
And you go down in the kitchen and you're starving again.
Yes.
That you think, oh, I wish I hadn't left that plate of food in that restaurant.
Well, this is where the clever money...
I'm going to go back tomorrow and get a load more.
This is where the clever money comes into its own, because if you're like me, we've got, you know, our tartan shopping trolley.
Yeah.
I'll shovel it off the plate.
Into
there. Pancakes, plum sauce,
sweet
and sour, chicken chow mein, chicken chow chescos.
Yeah.
The whole lot goes in there.
Soups,
wontons. And that's
Two
not
chums.
A reference to my wife, it's simply a soup. You shove it all in there, rice, fried rice, egg fried rice, boar rice, special fried rice.
Pork crackers.
Crispy pork. Sweet and sour. We know the other week you told me how they make that.
Well, yeah, exactly. I have no idea that all they use is tomato sauce.
And you dig in with a big ladle at 4 in the morning, you have it chucked down the water, you sit down, Margaret comes down bleary-eyed, I'm having a Chinese, love.
I'm having a dinner.
Have another dinner at 4 in the morning.
And if you're really smart, you'll save some back for breakfast.
Of course you will.
Yeah.
How are you getting on with... There's many things with us being in Barbados.
Yeah.
That are not what we're used to.
Heat,
rashes, midges, the language barrier, too much coconut and that. The one thing that I find whenever I go abroad...
Being in a foreign place
is number one. That's...
Yeah.
It's the crisps. You don't know where you are.
You don't know what you're getting with them, do you?
You don't know what they put in them. No,
they
come in different shapes. Invariably, there's not the range of flavours that we're used to in this country.
No. You end up eating things like, especially in Barbados, like things like rice and pea flavour and jerk chicken flavor. And stuff like that. It's hard to get your salt and vinegars out here because they don't go for that.
They don't eat fish and chips,
so no, they wouldn't know nothing about salt and vinegar.
They've not been introduced to that.
They don't have a cod father up the road in Sandy Lane.
Have they got a golden fry? No, they've got nothing like that.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to that sort of stuff,
this
fish in Barbados and the Caribbean, they don't know what they're doing.
You will never get anything
like that. You won't get a nice bit of fish out here, not covered in batter and deep fried. No. It's all like fresh, caught out the sea, and who wants that?
You know, I mean, it's a question of wet, fresh fish from a market, lime rather packaged caught in some, you know, in some polythene.
Yeah.
And poorly flavoured crisps.
Yeah, I know, it's a joke. And let me tell you something about a chocolate.
Oh, don't.
No, I'm gonna. Yeah, I'm gonna.
Go
I'm gonna tell you. Know,
what
I like
is it?
A, you
know,
I like a bit of chocolate.
Oh, no, it's all Bounty, is it?
Nah, I don't even get that. I thought, at the very least,
I
could guarantee myself a Bounty out here. But no. Because the trouble they got, because it's so bloody hot here in Barbados.
It melts.
So they have to stick some chemical in it to stop it melting. And I'm all for chemicals in food.
Absolutely. We discussed MSG.
I love it. But what they bung in the chocolate out here, I don't know. I can't eat it. So what I do is I smuggle myself in three bags of fun-sized marathons.
Yes.
And Mars bars.
Yeah, double-decker.
Yep. But of course, by the time you come to pull them out of the packet, they are just you don't really know what you're eating. But it's a taste sensation.
Oh, is it all mixed together?
It's all mixed up, all mucky and
lovely,
squelchy and all over your fingers, all over your face.
That's nice, by the pool, that looks. In fact, you got asked to go back in, didn't you? They thought you'd had an accident.
I had it all down my legs.
With the rice and peas crisps, they thought it had gone straight through you.
Have you seen anyone famous, Barry?
Oh, yeah, I bumped into Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, yeah?
The second man on the moon.
You see the fat all round the back of his, all on his back.
Buzz Aldrin's got a fatty back.
Yeah.
Was he been helping himself to the?
No, it's just like he was clearly quite a fat man. And
Buzz?
Buzz. And he seems to have lost a lot of weight. And the fat is all just gathered around underneath his, like, shoulder blades.
Have you seen that?
And he's wandering around in his speedos.
If he's by the pool again, I'll have a look.
Have a look at that.
I didn't question him about his fatty back.
No, well, you should.
Well, I'm
I don't
not
know
to.
If he likes to talk about it, but, you know, he could probably earn a few quid with Weight Watchers if nothing else is going on for him.
He's here doing a conference down the road. Now, what I could do is get in on my press pass when everyone's asking him about the moon landings, the future of NASA, you know, space exploration. I could stick my hand out and go, why is your back so fatty?
Yeah.
And have you lost weight?
Have you lost weight recently, Buzz? Because we've noticed some excess fat underneath your shoulder blades.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
whilst you were walking around the pool.
It's amazing because, you know, he's bald as well. And with his saggy man boobs at the front and at the back, you don't know whether he's coming or going.
Exactly.
You don't know
which part of him you're talking to.
No, but I said to him, Buzz, did you land on the moon or is it all bollocks? And do you know what he said to me?
What?
No.
It happened,
and that was it. And I left it there.
Fair enough,
isn't it?
I reckon he was there.
He didn't have a fat back in them days, of course. Armstrong did. No. Oh, he's renowned.
Disgusting.
Neil Armstrong.
You know, Che Guevara is knocking around somewhere.
Oh, is he? Che Guevara?
Yeah, you can't miss him.
With the beard, isn't it?
With the beard, yeah.
Well, I expect he's put on weight. He's more like giant A-stakes nowadays.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't know when I first saw him. Is that Che Guevara, or is that Jeff Capes?
Well,
I wasn't sure which one it was.
I mean, it's not the motorcycle diaries. Forget it, mate. Golf cart. You'd be lucky to get into.
Yeah. Mobility scooter.
Yeah. That's him.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Anyway. So, that's international politics and conspiracy theories
all done.
This is En Vogue.
Hey, yeah.
Oh, I like this.
Oh,
here we go. 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 We got we got Bill Oddie coming up.
We
got
Ray
Quinn. We got Rich Pepiat. We got Game of Thrones star Laura Pradelska.
Oh,
don't go away.
Yeah, I like that one.
Hold on.
I like that one.
En Vogue.
It's nice and chilled, isn't it? It's nice and chilled.
We're easing in.
I'm into the playlist at the moment.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I've got right up on my music, you know, Barry.
Have you put in some of these that we're playing today?
Yeah, I put some of them in. Also, I bought myself a new album this week.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called Now. Now that's what I call music six.
I've never heard of Now. Are they a bit like Yes or Cream?
Yeah, they're a little bit like that. They're a prog rock bunch.
Now.
Anyway, they've done lots of wonderful songs by the Eurythmics and Queen.
They've done all their songs. An eclectic mix.
Yeah, that's right. And you really get your money's worth of Now. Now album.
Yeah. I've not done know whether I've seen them in concert. Have you seen them in concert?
No.
I've
only just discovered their music.
Yeah.
So I just should have a look at them first of all. And then once I've made a decision whether or not what I like it.
Yeah, what you like it. Yes.
Then I might consider buying tickets to go and see them when they reform, which they inevitably will because everybody wants the money.
They'll do. Listen, kids, if you know, anyone out there, our tip for the top is a band called Now.
That's right.
They've 78 albums out or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit like the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, and they're
on tour all the time. Listen, kids, and I'd just like to say on the music thing, if you are thinking of planning a rock career and you put a band together, it's really successful and you break up, then but whatever you do, get back together because that is where the money is. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
30 years down the line, get back together.
I always think what is odd is two things. First of all, a band, they're doing supremely well.
Yeah.
Everything's going fine. They were plucked out of obscurity. There was nothing before that. They had no time. And before long, oh no, splitting up.
Oh, yeah.
You go, what do you mean? No, splitting up. Artistic differences. And you go, a couple of weeks from now, everyone will have forgotten you, so why would you split up? No, I'm moving on to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there'll be another Muppet to replace you next week.
Well, that's quite similar to someone leaving EastEnders.
Oh, that's it.
And saying,
I want to spread my wings.
Yeah, I'd like to just experience, just like go and do other acting jobs and stuff like that. Like, give it 6 months, mate. You'll be back in the old Vic.
Well, you say that.
You can check out any time you like.
And not the old Vic, but the old Vic on EastEnders.
Yeah.
But you say that, but I'd
Queen
say,
Vic.
I'd say, that's it, the Queen Vic. The Queen Vic's. You say that, but when I saw Wilmot Brown giving his Coriolanus, it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Letitia Dean as Titania.
Yeah, beautiful.
At Stratford.
Beautiful.
Was wonderful.
Leslie Grantham's Hamlet.
Oh, Leslie Grantham's Hamlet was
super.
Oh,
he could really pull that off.
Wasn't Mike Read wonderful in that tour
Romeo.
Of Romeo. He was brilliant as Romeo and Pat St. Clement as Juliet.
That was a match made in heaven, that was.
It really was.
Yeah.
But the wonderful one
Cross Lovers.
Thoroughly enjoyed was Adam Woodyatt's Cherry Orchard, directed by Sir Terry Hands, that played at Madison Square Gardens.
Yeah. I mean, it really showed what he could do, didn't it?
He's a sublime actor.
Yeah.
And he's one of this country's boo.
He played the orchard, didn't he?
He played the orchard, but Mose Slater, the lady who plays Mose Slater.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Her mother courage was wonderful.
Caucasian Chalk Circle. Letitia Dean. She done. Who's that other one? Susanna.
Susan Fowler.
Yeah.
She, when she'd done that wonderful two-hander with Wendy Richards.
Yeah, yeah, the female version of...
The Timon of Athens.
Oh, I thought it was the the Harold Pinter one.
The caretaker?
No!
The dumbwaiter.
Yeah, the dumbwaiter. I thought it was the female version of dumbwaiter she had done. There was certainly something in the press about her going to do that.
Sublime, Nicholas de Jong.
Yeah, that's
Wendy Richards has not... excelled these heights since Are You Being Served and Arthur English's Rotating Boob Machine. You know, a palpable hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Charles Spencer, The Telegraph. That's Letitia right. Jean's ass in Coriolanus was a treat.
Yeah.
You know, wonderful.
Yeah. That's it. Those are the reviews.
Those are the reviews. Now, I put the reviews down. Yeah. We've looked at the today's theatre.
All the East Enders. Come Shakespearean reviews.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a funny... I don't know whether I can tell
you.
No,
you can tell me.
This is a true story.
You can tell me, Barry.
In the next break, I'm going to tell Andrew Lawson he can make decisions.
I'll make the decision.
It involves Leslie Grantham with the thing he done on the internet. A friend of mine who was working with Leslie at the time. So,
Tracy Ann
O'Brien. Yes, did you? Have I told you that before?
Oh, I've heard it from the horse's mouth.
Oh, well, have you got Leslie?
No. The other horse.
Tracy.
Anyway, that's...
It's
not for you. It's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody. Perhaps I won't tell everybody.
Oh, I think you should.
No, all right, well, everything. Do you know, I picked this up from the Metro the other day.
Go on.
Get this.
Go on.
Is it April Fool's?
No.
Three parent babies.
Yes.
Safe to be born. Now, how does that happen? Because can you get two penises up there? I don't know whether
you can. Well, you can do, but that, I mean... You know, you have to pay a lot of money to do that.
Would you?
No.
I mean, how easy is that going to be to have three parent babies? How's that going to work?
Well, I think one of them does the business.
Yeah, and the other one does.
And then the other one just sort of hangs about
and
in
encourages.
The background. And, yeah, just like wears a scarf and stuff and maybe pats her head.
I mean, how can that work? Pats her head and just says...
Would you like some water?
And so that sort of psychologically she's thinking about the other one while the other one's in the business end.
Exactly,
sort of
thing. Yeah. What? As long as everyone's involved, I mean, I can't see a problem with it.
I'm not at all prejudiced about
this. No, I know you're not. You definitely are.
Or maybe they get a sort of Petri dish.
Yeah.
She sits her legs akimbo and they just flick bits... And it's potluck as to which goes in.
And they'll never know. And they'll only know when they're about 12 when they go, who does she look like? The kids. And then they'll know.
That's probably how it works.
That's the scientific approach, I'd have thought.
You know, I'm not one to moralise, but, you know, how was you conceived? Flicking off a Petri dish.
Yeah.
Me, a neighbour, and your mum.
It was competition. It was Christmas. We'd had a couple of drinks.
Yeah. She goes, I fancy having a baby.
I say, right, I'll get Darren around from next door.
Yeah, she goes, hold on.
Go and get the Petri dish out.
Yeah,
right?
That's it.
And it'll be a little bit like chucking the horseshoe round the stake in the ground.
Round at a funfair. Yeah, it's like, only fools and horses finish late. I'll tell you what, when that's finished, whatever cut the show is, get the old Petri dish out.
Get the old baby game out.
Hello?
Yeah.
Derek, you're coming round, we're going to do a bit of Petri dish. Oh, lovely,
he
comes round.
Like a shot, mate. But of course, the prize is, slightly more responsibility than taking home a goldfish, thank you very much.
Well, yes, it is. And if you're thinking of doing that this Christmas, my advice is...
A baby is for life.
A baby's life, not just for Christmas, all right? So just bear that in mind,
ethics. Any kids out there that want to think about playing in that game.
Don't do it. I'd stick with charades.
Yes. Exactly. All trivial shishis.
They are trivial shishis. Now, we alluded to some of the people who are coming on. Ray Quinn. Ray Quinn is coming on.
I like him. Ray Quinn.
He's a British actor, singer, dancer, best known for finishing second in The X Factory.
How did it feel to feel second?
Oh,
that'll be
terrible.
The number one question, won't it? What did it feel like on the night? And the winner is not you.
Mm.
Oh, and yeah, you have to smile and be gracious. Well, we'll be finding out all about that.
I've just remembered who he is, Ray Quinn.
Yeah, he looks a little bit like Ray Reardon.
He's got a quiff, hasn't he? And he done the sort of 1950s.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a new album coming out, Ray Quinn.
Oh, yeah. He looks a bit like Dracula.
That's it. That's it. Then Rich Pepiat, who is producing his new film, One Rogue Reporter.
Oh.
Now, this sounds interesting. This is a writer, filmmaker, journalist and comedian. I'll be the judge of that.
Yes.
He's released his first feature film. It's not a short. It's called Steve.
Who?
Yes, it's got Steve Coogan in it.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant.
Who?
John Bishop off of Neighbours and a load of other great people in it.
Well, why aren't we in it? Well, that's your first question.
God blimey, he's proper this one. Question. I thought he was some muppet,
Where did we find him then?
Well done, ladies.
Where did we get him from?
Where do we get him from? Rich Pepiat. I don't know, they're just
off the internet.
They're not really listening.
Off the internet.
Off the internet. Game of Thrones star Laura Prodelstyn.
Oh, yes.
We've had all the Games of Thrones stars.
Well, there's about 300 of them, so we can keep going for years getting them on.
And, of course, we have got as our very, very special guest the one and only Bill Oddie.
Bill Springwatch Oddie.
Bill Springwatch Oddie will be on the telephone system a little bit later. That's coming up soon. It's coming up next, possibly.
Oh.
Bill Oddie, how about that? A comic god. We've had some crackers on this.
Comic god? Oh, yeah. But I think he's more into the starlings and that sort of thing now.
I could tell you another story that he told me. I'd done something with him once, and he told me something. I don't know whether to repeat that.
Well, in the break.
In the break.
Just let me know what you're going to say.
And we'll discuss it.
Because we don't want to be libelous off the airwaves.
No, we do not. In the meantime,
it would be a good way to go, though.
That would be a way to go down in flames.
Absolutely.
Burn your bridges.
Crash and burn.
Crash and burn.
Over Bill Oddie.
With a terrible slip up over the Oddie.
Yeah.
Now, looking through the
Space Oddie.
The Space Oddie 2001.
Space Oddie.
Space Oddie.
It's a David Bowie song, isn't it?
Oddie, Oddie, Oddie.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oddie, Oddie, Oddie.
Hey, hey, hey.
Bill.
Oddie.
Bill.
Oddie.
Billy, Billy, Billy.
Oddie, Oddie, Oddie.
It needs a bit of work, but we'll have a go.
That is what we'll say
that's
to
what we'll
him
say
when
to him.
Enjoy that, won't he?
He'll love that.
His song.
While they get Oddie out of a tree and putting down his binoculars.
Is that his real name?
Bill Oddie.
Oddie.
It's a funny name, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's a little bit like Noddy, and it's a little bit like Odd.
Yeah, Bill Oddie.
Are you a bit Oddie?
I've never heard of anyone with the surname of Oddie, have you?
No, I haven't. And that is why I bring it up, Barry.
We're going to speak to this charlatan.
Oh, hello.
Oh!
Rock and roll.
Bloody heck, this is In Your Car, Kinnicky.
Oh, yeah.
And soon we'll be back with the charlatan who claims his name's Oddie. Bill Oddie.
This is Lauren Laverne's band.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Do we like it?
Bit derivative.
Bit derivative.
Derivative. I like Lauren. Oh, God, I like Lauren.
Oh, I like Lauren.
I listen to her on Radio 6 music.
Oh, yes.
This is another radio show, you know. There's loads of them, you know.
Out there, are they?
Yeah, there's loads of them. There's Radio 6 music, and then the other one is Classic FM.
Classic FM.
And then that's about it, I think.
So, kids, if you can avoid Radio 6 music and Classicals FM,
this is the one
for you.
This is the only other one.
One gentleman who has been listening to this show is Rob, and he's on the line. Rob, can you hear us?
Rob.
Hello, are you all right, guys?
Oh, we spoke to you before, haven't we, Rob?
Have we spoke to you before?
You have, yeah. You have, yeah.
What did we help you with before, Rob?
It was a situation of going to Wetherspoons or
that's
going away for the weekend with my missus.
I remember that.
Hold on, let's recap. Let's recap. For any persons who wasn't listed a few weeks ago.
Very unlikely.
Very unlikely. Because it's only me and Angelos and Robbie who listen to it anyway.
Yeah.
Rob had the decision.
Had a dilemma.
Had a dilemma. It was whether to go to his brother's stag do or go Scarborough
with his wife's
girlfriend.
Yeah.
What was the decision?
I ended up doing neither, to be honest with you.
What happened?
Oh, my God, the intrigue.
You put me off from both that much. So
oh, good. Well, glad we were of service.
What did you do? You go Chinese?
I just stayed at home and had a takeaway.
Chinese?
Good. You have Chinese?
I have Chinese, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you have?
Spare ribs and chips, always, every time.
Spare ribs and chips. You scum. Listen, how did you get on with your girlfriend then?
She took it all right. She wasn't too bothered, I think, in the end.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Did you offer a chip or a rib or a chance to share a polythene carton?
I don't share food, I'm afraid.
Quite right.
She must be over the moon with you.
Yes.
She must have thought, I could have had anyone. Anyone in the world.
Yes.
And I've ended up with Rob
who and his chips
and ribs on a Saturday night. Would you have a couple of cans of lager?
Of course, cider, man.
Oh, cider.
That goes very nice with the porky rib.
You get better and better. Cider and pork, mate. Honestly, now, you've made the right decision.
You know what?
I'm a connoisseur.
You're a connoisseur. What I was in, talking of sharing food, my wife can never understand when gentlemen go for a curry. She's like, what, did you try anyone else's? It's like, no. When gentlemen order their food, no, that is what I ordered. That is what I'm going to have. You can keep your passanders, your damn sack.
Trying your, muck.
That's what I ordered, and that is what I'm going to eat, yes.
You always get that one person, though, don't you, that says, oh, is yours nice? And you can see they want to try it.
Yes.
But you're not going to let them.
They're usually women.
Yeah.
So the trick is not to go out with them.
Yeah. And if you remember, splitting the bill, I didn't have a starter.
Yeah,
right,
that's
okay.
I'm not drinking as much as you. In fact, I'll order my own pints and then you share the rest of it.
If you remember rightly, I only had a biryani, which is a bit cheaper.
I don't think I touched the Papa John's.
If you remember rightly, you had an expensive spirit drink. I think you should pay more.
Yeah,
I'm
Bailey's.
Not being funny. I don't mind. Just this one, and ruins it. I'd a Bailey's.
Yeah, Bailey's.
Oh, that goes nice with a curry.
Oh, it does,
Bailey's.
Yeah,
lovely.
So, what did she have?
What's that, the missus?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, did you
she's a vegetarian, so she's had like a mushroom curry.
Oh, my God.
I know, it's filth, isn't it, that?
Robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Filth. So what are you up to now, then? So bring us up to date with your life.
Not much, really. Just all work and no play, to be honest with you, boys. But I'm ringing you today to find out your opinion on man grooming.
I see. First of all work. Don't sound like it.
What work are you doing?
What work is it?
I'm a barber, but I've just nipped out for 2 minutes to talk to you guys.
You're a barber? Oh, well, you must have
an
opinion on man grooming.
Yes.
I do. I think it's a good thing, but I didn't think you two would see the same opinion, so I wanted to know what you guys think.
Yeah, no, it's a fair question, I must say, Rob. I like a bit of... Well, I'm not in so much into man grooming, but I do
child
like...
grooming.
I like manscaping. You know manscaping, Rob?
I do. I manscape with a Gillette Fusion.
That's it, mate. I like to go downstairs.
What's that?
You go downstairs and chop things out.
Yeah.
You know? So, I've got my pubis. It's all cut into the shape of a Harrier jump jet.
Well, it's funny.
What about yours?
Well, mine is
just... You've got your fat hanging over
I've
the top
I've got my
of
fat
it,
hanging over. I can't find
really
it. But I did
it.
Fashion Margaret's pubis. Into the image of Fred Dinage off of How.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and,
that's nice.
And if she moves around a bit, it actually looks like it's talking.
Yeah.
Lovely.
It's what you can do down there. Yeah. What about you, Rob? What's your opinion on it?
I'm all off, But the missus...
All off?
She tries to
you
do shit.
Are you jealous of Alice?
I'm just like... It looks like a little kid, to be honest with you. It looks
Duncan
Goodhue,
you look like a little kid. I think
sometimes it looks freaky.
Yeah, we need to be careful here.
We do, we're treading on
thin ice.
Does your missus have any... any shapes on her pubis?
She's tried to experiment a bit, but it don't work for me.
Fajazos, Brazil, Alan, Portugal.
Alan Brazil.
Yeah.
I prefer all off.
Oh, you do you?
God, it must
no
be.
No bush.
Okay.
It must be right a slappy affair when you two.
No
you don't
bush.
Have a natural cushion.
No bush city limits. No,
that's
right.
This is it.
Right, yeah.
I dare say if you're playing the Petri dish game, that would be handy. Don't worry about it, you can hear that later on when
later
you listen.
On,
but, so that's all off for you.
I've got the Harrier jump, Jay.
The only thing I've had, because you can't see my bushy area, I have had the arse hair, which brown out the top of my buttocks.
Yeah.
Fashioned,
right,
and I've had it done
plated.
So it looks like Bear Grylls is crawling out of my two cheeks of the undergrowth.
Yeah, that's a good
and it's
idea.
And it's just he's poking his head up, and my wife didn't half laugh.
Yeah.
And when someone comes round from the council to wipe my bottom, she can barely stop laughing.
Yeah,
you know,
the council person,
yeah, and she goes,
Hold on,
Bear Grylls is
creeping about the bush.
Bear Grylls is sneaking out of your bumhole.
Yeah.
And,
you know, that's a nice joke.
It's a gesture, you know.
It's a good joke at his age.
At my age.
But when it comes to grooming, Rob, I'm with the Arabs. I like to shave it to within an inch of my life.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I've been round my ball bag with a Remington nasal trimmer.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a nice sensation, and it does get rid of the careless whispers, you know what I mean?
Yeah, spider's legs.
Spider's legs, because when I go on holiday, it's like £5 of old Hoban hanging out either side of Miss Beto's, you know. So
I do know.
Well, they said that the hotel complained.
Oh,
where
yeah,
we're
well,
staying
they said
the
in Barbados.
They said, excuse me, sir.
Excuse me, sir, £5 a whole horror hanging on his speedos.
This is a 5-star hotel.
You can't have
that. You could
that.
Have had a trim, you know.
Yeah.
So, no. Do you get much call in the barbers? People, you know, getting their feet up, gyno style, with the, you know, mirror in front of them while you go at it with some shears.
Have a go on that, mate. Yeah.
A great one all over. No, we don't, to be honest with you.
No.
Because I've seen that, you know, where they have the barber's photos framed in a barber shop.
Yeah.
I've seen
a
myriad of ball bags in there, you know, of what you can have done there, my way.
That's under the counter stuff.
That's it. Something for the weekend, sir. Yes, please.
Yeah,
and
please,
could you whip all my pubes off and all?
Trim them down. I'm going to get lucky this weekend.
We had a skip last time, my Margaret. Had it done. We had to hire a skip outside the house.
Yeah. Put it in. Yeah, like three bags full.
I mean, I tell you what, with that amount of
Australian sheep shearing,
it really with that amount of foliage whipped off, the ice caps are melting much quicker. You know,
You should have stuffed some pillows, boys.
Done what?
Should have stuffed it with some pillows.
Yeah.
Stuffed what with some pillows?
Pubes.
Oh, God,
And then sell them on eBay.
You're absolutely
right. You're right. That is a good business opportunity there, Rob.
Sorry, Rob, we've...
I think you need to tell on.
We've talked all over, Rob.
I know, we're so sorry. I haven't asked you any questions.
Yeah, how's business today?
Yeah.
It's been a bit quiet. It's a bit rainy, to be honest with you, today, so...
Oh, people don't get their hair cut in the rain. Is that how it goes?
It's just people don't really want to come out, do they, in the rain?
No, I suppose not, mate.
Oh, mate.
I suppose not.
Look,
we're
talking of, wildness. We got Kim Wilde coming up. Don't make any sense.
No,
because anyway,
you weren't talking of wildness.
Wild
hair.
Yeah, but, mate, I hope that's cleared it up. Angelos says yes,
he does
believe in it.
I do believe
Rob,
in it.
Rob, please always feel free to...
Ring us whenever
don't
you want,
Don't want to plead, but please.
Please ring us.
Someone ring us.
And tell everyone else.
Tell everyone else to. And please fly the flag for this show, which has won a Sony, I'm happy to say, in the Made Up Barry Awards last week.
In your head.
In my head. Rob, good luck.
Good luck, Rob.
Thank you.
Okay, mate.
And enjoy the rest of the show, boys.
Yeah. Oh, cheers, pal. You
number
can hear
one,
yourself.
Number one for you. Yeah. Number one, that's your hairdressing.
Number one.
That's your hairdressing phrase.
Come on, England. Ta-da, mate. Bye.
See you later, boys.
Yeah, bye, 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 bye.
Yeah.
Oh, this was a classic. This. Remember
Kim
this?
Wilde.
Kim Wilde. Coming up, Ray Quinn.
Ray Quinn.
After Kim Wilde, the kids.
In America.
In America.
Oh.
Looking out a dirty old window. Down below.
We're the kids.
We are the kids from America.
From America. The kids from America. Marty Wilde there.
And look at this one.
Do you know what? Oh. We have got
superstar.
A superstar is on line two. We're delighted to say hello to Ray Quinn.
Ray?
Hello. How are you?
Oh, great. Ray. Great to speak to you, mate.
How are you?
And you too. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm good, you know. Really good. Really good.
Where are you? Up in Liverpool?
No, I'm in London. I've lived in London for a while now. I haven't been home, but a bit disappointed about the weather.
Oh, mate, honestly. You must be used to it, mate, coming from Liverpool, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Weather's shit up there, isn't it?
I'm out in a T-shirt. I've just walked a dog and somebody said, what are you in a T-shirt for? So I'm from Liverpool.
Yeah, exactly. Man of steel.
Really, if we're having the World Cup here, that would be a boon for our players, wouldn't it?
What, the weather?
Yeah, you think of them over there.
Yeah.
Searing heat. This is what they're used to in the summertime.
Well, yeah. I don't think you can play. I did a charity football match just recently.
Yeah.
Over in Norwich. It was roasting and it was so hard to play in the heat. It really was.
A bit rainy. Over in Norwich, right?
Yeah.
It's hot over there, isn't it?
Well, it
was at the time. It's not Qatar.
It was at the time.
No.
But
hot day.
Yeah. Look, while we've got you, I just feel, how do you feel about England?
Yeah.
How's it going to go?
You're a football fan, right?
Of course he is.
I am a football fan, I've got high hopes. You've always, as an England fan, you've always got to be optimistic.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I love it. Love the World Cup.
I love the World Cup. I just love watching the football. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter who's playing. Of course, when England play, I'll be there supporting with my shirt on. You have to. It's where you're from. But the football in general, like, you just see some quality players. And I just admire great talent, you know.
Are you Liverpool or are you Everton, mate?
I'm a Blue. My dad won't let me be anything else.
No, quite
never
right. I have the rare claim that I actually won the World Cup for England. Because, you know, in 1966, I was at Wembley.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when Kenneth Walsenholme says some of the crowd are on the pitch.
Yeah,
that was me. We took a wrong turn in coming out the toilet and I wandered on the next pitch to the German left back.
Yeah.
My Margaret, she bought a
pasty.
Yeah, so indirectly, I suppose. Indirectly.
We may well have
distracted the goalkeeper. Anyway, Ray Quinn is a British actor, singer, dancer, best known for finishing second in The X Factory 2006.
2006, Ray?
God,
was
it
that long
quick?
Ago?
It was long ago, yeah.
Good God, mate.
I had the album out afterwards and everything.
I know, you've been very busy since, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been very lucky, you know, to have done so many great things in my career, and I've turned things around pretty quickly and had some, you know, great variety in what I've done. And I've learnt a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've had a lot of experience. I'm still, you know, still young, so still ready to go and do carry new ventures, you know.
What have you enjoyed doing the most, mate?
This is the thing. Me and my manager sat down a while ago together, and it was about, you know, what next for Ray, what we're going to do, and it always came back to the music. Now, when I had the first album out a while ago,
it went platinum, mate.
I loved it.
It went platinum in the first week.
We had a sellout UK tour. It was, you know, a fantastic moment in my life.
That is,
you know,
good fun, isn't it?
I just wanted to relive that, and I've got such a passion for music in general. You know, whenever I get a second, I'm listening to it, and it flavours my life. It's sort of, it's, you know, music is an influence on me in all walks of life, like the way I dress, everything.
So,
you know, it all always came back down to the music. So we are pursuing doing a new album.
Are you doing one at the moment, Ray, or are you, you're doing an album now?
Yeah, we're flying over to New York in July.
Oh, nice.
To record a few tracks.
Why is that? Because you're working with a producer over there, or you just want to do it in New York
I'll
for the vibe?
I'll tell you the little backstory here. My manager knows a lady called Shirley Lewis. Shirley Lewis is, of course, sister to Linda Lewis. And they were backing vocals for George Michael since the Wham days.
I remember them.
Yes.
Yeah, and they still do sing with him on tour. Like she calls him the boss man, you know, because they've worked with him for years.
Yeah,
and they're such great girls and got so many great connections, Shirley, especially because Shirley lives over in America. Of course, she's married to Luke Goss.
Yes.
From the band Bros, you know, with Matt.
Yes,
he's
I remember
done,
him.
He's done well, hasn't
he? He's kept going, hasn't he?
Absolutely, it's talent, determination, and
perseverance. Yeah,
yeah,
and
they're just clinging on. They've absolutely killing it over there. And of course, Matt is playing Vegas in Caesar's Palace, and he's got his own room called the Gossy Room, and he does out shows every Friday, Saturday, and he's been there 2 years now. So they're amazing. Now Shirley manages a producer called David Fink, and David Fink's obviously worked with George Michael on the album called Songs of the Last Century, which is a beautiful album. And he's worked with Roger Stewart, Carly Simon. He's worked with, the list is
endless.
His bio is incredible, and he's interested in doing this. We had a chat, and he was like, "Yeah, let's do it." So he's ready to produce the album for me, which is absolutely amazing to know that he's interested. So we're going over to New York to record with him.
Fantastic.
And obviously, with the Luke Goss connection with Matt.
Yeah.
He's took wind of this and gone, "Whoa, hang on." He got excited by it and said, "Well, listen, when you're over in New York, why don't you fly over to Vegas and play with me in Caesar's Palace?" So I'll be on the 5th of July, I'll be singing live with him in Caesar's Palace.
Is that a dream come true, Ray?
It's a really, and it really is a dream come true.
Yeah.
And, you know, it couldn't have happened. It couldn't have happened sooner. And, you know, I could have had a record contract ages ago, but it was never the right time, and I didn't feel like it was, you know, it was ever right. And it was only recently that it felt right. You know, I'm old enough. You know, I'm a different person. I'm a dad.
Well,
you know,
up,
husband.
Yeah.
I've had my experience in all different fields of the entertainment industry, and it came around to go right now. Now's the time. You know, and the fans have waited a long, long time.
Yeah.
Well, when was your last time you released an album, then, Ray?
2007.
Right. Whoa, mate, so you've got some catching up to do.
So the new album, I mean, after you've done, when will that be out, do you think?
In the stores.
We'd love to push it for Christmas, but I doubt that's going to happen. It's probably going to be next year, but the single will be out before Christmas. So, and I've got three great tracks I'm going over to New York to record for the EP.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
One of
which is an original song written by Linda Lewis called I Don't Do Don't, and it's a beautiful track. We heard it on YouTube, and we spoke to Linda, me and my manager, and we were like, you know, can we use this track? And she's like, you know, proper 70s legend, just was like, yeah, of course.
Brilliant.
Like, use it, groovy.
Yeah.
We were like, that is a wicked. Which brings me to say, I'm doing some really great gigs. I've got 5 gigs now. I've done one, not yesterday, the day before, but the gigs are on the 6th, the 9th, the 11th, and the 13th of June.
Brilliant.
The Friday the 13th is sold out.
Oh.
But the rest of the gigs, there's still tickets left.
Where are the gigs, Ray?
The gigs are in Hampstead, in a place called The Rabbit Hole, which is the Rabbit Hole Group Management, which you look after me, which is Steve. They're in Hampstead, obviously North London. Just New End, the Duke of Hamilton pub.
Lovely.
Yeah, come out the tube, same right up the hill, right again.
Know the place.
Buy the tickets all online at my website at rayquinn.co.uk.
rayquinn.co.uk.
Tickets.
Yeah, and it's a great gig. I've got a live band. It's really intimate. You'll find out all what's going on, what's happening.
Yeah.
A few little exclusives, and I'll be singing that original track, the one track that's going to be on the album. I'll be singing it live.
That's the Linda Lewis.
Mate.
What she's written, I'll be singing it on my own with my band live.
Fantastic.
You get to hear it first. And
you warm up for Vegas.
Warm up and get ready to go over to New York. But the people who are coming to the gigs, me and my manager had an idea a while ago because we were like, you know, we want to give something back because these guys are helping make this dream possible. So we've got a pad when you walk in, you put your name down, and I'm putting all the names of the people who are coming to my gigs on the album sleeve. So they're all.
Oh, nice. That is nice.
That is a lovely
touch.
It's
a bit like this show. We can name everyone who listens to it.
Exactly.
I'm only kidding.
We're mucking about.
Right, listen. Best of luck. One final question we've got to ask is, it says on these, we've got some notes here that say you'd be very happy to go back if you're invited by Simon Cowell to sing on the X Factor.
Oh, absolutely.
Has he been all right with you, or do you feel cheated by him or the system?
Oh,
or?
No, not at all. Simon Cowell was, you know,
the governor.
X Factor.
Yeah,
he's the governor.
How? Because you see, Leona Lewis has been given the Evo.
That's right.
Leona Lewis has been dropped.
I didn't know that, but
that's what I heard this morning.
But, you know.
These things happen. She's a beautiful girl, great artist. And has been going for the last how many years, I don't know, but she's done so well.
Oh, she's done very well.
And continue to do so.
Yeah.
And she cracked America, you know, absolutely storming it. So I have no doubt whatsoever. Yeah. She'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, she'll be fine.
But the X Factor machine for me was just brilliant, and I used it to my advantage, and it's given me a fantastic platform has been so far a great career. But
congratulations,
back to the music now, and the focus is 100% there
on the album
to make this happen. Yeah,
all right, mate.
Well, it goes well.
It's been fantastic talking to
well
you,
well done, pal, and best of luck.
Nice to catch up, find out what you've been up to.
I love you guys. You're absolutely fantastic.
You should have said that at the beginning,
mate.
All right, well, we're going to use that. We'll have that as one of our jingles.
Honestly, you're fantastic, you guys. Absolutely brilliant.
We know that.
He's just trying to convince everyone else.
If you do speak to Matt Goss, can you ask him?
Let him know, because we could do Vegas.
We could do Vegas.
Easy.
I mean, Andros has done Vegas, but to be fair, that's an amusement arcade in Neasden.
I've done it over.
You never know, you know. If you come over, you might go to the toilet, turn the wrong direction, and end up on stage with us.
Well, with any luck.
No, he's got in trouble before.
Yeah, no.
He's been in trouble for that before.
Walking into the wrong
going in the
toilets.
Wrong cubicle. Right, right. Lots of love. Good luck.
Yeah.
Cheers, buddy.
See you later,
bye
mate.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let the rhythm take your soul.
It has. Taking it, chucking in the bin.
That was something that's disappeared off the screen. Everybody dance now. Angelo Sepasini is eating a bacon sandwich.
Oh, good.
Which one of our young ladies went down and bought.
Oh, yeah, we've got it.
Ever so nice.
I'll tell you, this is like next to the soul. Because you know I'm on my diet, didn't you, Barry?
I did hear that. You'd never believe you could get a bacon sandwich with sun-blessed bread like you can at home out here in Barbados.
No, the thing about it is that because it tastes so good because of this diet I'm doing. It's really hard work.
What is it?
I haven't eaten for like 3 weeks.
Is it the 5-2?
No, it's like 3 weeks nothing.
The 3 week nothing, never heard of it.
Well, you don't eat nothing for 3 weeks.
Well, you've not eaten nothing for 3 weeks?
No, I'm all bunged up.
Oh, I see. Well, that's what you want when you... If you was on death row, you'd probably have that bacon sandwich.
Oh, what would you have on death row?
I think we've discussed this before.
No, we haven't.
All right, I would have.
I have a very specific set of requests written in my back pocket just in case that happens.
Okay. I would have probably some ball bearings so that when they try turning on the electricity, it throws the system out of sync, out of kilter. It reverses the poles, and before you know it, your head blows off, but you manage to kill the machine at the same time.
Yeah,
that's what
nice,
I do.
And
failing
that
steak and a Viennetta. Viennetta.
Yeah.
And I'd eat the whole fucking lot and all.
The whole box full.
Yes, I'll say, I want a whole box of peanut. Oh, no, I'm sorry, sir.
You're going to get fat. Yeah. I don't give a shit. I'm going to be dead in about 20 minutes, mate.
Oh, you killed a man. You ain't going to have
Viennetta. Let's not drag up the past. All I'm going to do is sit down and eat a Viennetta and a lump of steak.
Do you mind? I'm eating.
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Yeah, you're putting me off my food.
And then you'd have a woman...
Talking about murder.
You'd have someone's mum or dad or, you know, husband or whatever, or wife, behind a one-way mirror. And you'd go... I'd go, excuse me, do you mind not looking at me while I'm eating?
While I'm eating my food.
And
they'd
go,
you're
nearly ready now. I'd eat so much they couldn't get the belt round me to strap me to the chair.
Yeah, they'd take me measurements, and then by the time I can't have put me
sorry,
in the chair...
I've had a whole Viennetta.
Oh, sucker, for being the corner a few sizes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's the...
Would you know what I'd have for my last meal?
Tell us!
I'd have a course of steroids.
Oh, yes?
Yes!
What, so you just experience what it's like to be a woman?
No. That's oestrogen.
Oh, that's some oestrogen.
Yeah, no. I'd have a course of steroids.
Yes.
Right, and I'd, inject myself. And then when they come to strap me in...
Yes.
Oh, I was so bloody strong.
You just
I could smash them out of the way,
a
Hulk.
That's a good idea.
I know it is.
It's a lovely idea.
The only thing is, I don't know if they're allowed to do that.
You wouldn't know where to get them?
No. Internet, I'd have thought.
Yeah.
Off the internet.
You probably put in your order early. You know, a prawn cocktail starter, course of steroids, ball bearings, Viennetta.
Yeah.
What is this ball bearing shit, boy? Just go and get it, please.
Don't ask no questions.
No,
I didn't ask you.
Killed a man, I can kill you too.
Yeah, exactly, I know what I'm doing
and
that sort of stuff.
And so I'll tell you something else.
Go on.
No greens. I don't have to eat them. No veg.
Well, any greens?
I'm like that previous man. I just want chips and a rib. No greens.
And while you're there, chuck a bag of Arabo in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have the old bag.
I'll have the old bag.
Old bag of Haribo.
That's it.
Yeah.
There we are.
Famous last meal.
Famous last meal. Rich Pepiat is coming in a minute, and we've been reading up all about him. He's a clever fellow,
yeah,
isn't he?
He knows what he's doing.
Not
this
like
one.
The usual crap we have on here.
No,
he's
this
proper.
One knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. And he's got a film coming out, and he's got lots to say.
And he's a writer, and he's like, he's got a brain on him.
He's got a brain on him, and I've just seen him. He's a handsome devil.
Yeah, I know.
That's annoying, isn't it? Handsome. Is it too late to cancel him?
Chuck him out.
Kick him out. This is...
What's this? Oh, it's the Kaiser Chiefs.
The Kaiser Chiefs.
Named after a South African football team.
Oh, that's interesting. What did it call? Quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
That's
the end of the story.
It's called the Kaiser Chiefs.
I predict a riot.
Yeah, me too, when this fella comes in.
Yeah. Rich Pepiat's on his way. He's got a film coming out and he's starring some...
And he's good looking.
Any birds out there, stay
you
listening.
Kaiser Chiefs.
I predict a riot.
Yeah, me, I've been doing that for ages, and I done that just before the Tottenham riots, and it come true.
Did you? You predicted it.
I predicted that, yeah.
Earlier on, when we sent the lovely lady out to get, I said, I predict a sandwich.
Yeah.
And it come true.
Well, you told her to go and get
it. Well, I didn't predict that it wouldn't be toasted, but there you are, never mind that. She can't remember them. With us in the studio, at long last.
You're delightful.
A proper guest,
yes.
Rich Pepiat.
Honestly, Rich, it's so nice to have you here.
Hello.
It really is.
Hello. Why am I a proper guest?
Because we've had
we've had a load of rubbish.
On here.
Really?
Yeah. Real dickhead. But you...
I'm worried what you're going to say about me next week now.
Remember that very intelligent, good-looking...
Yeah,
when's he coming in? Is he later on?
No, we're talking about you, mate.
You, my son.
You have got to come to terms with that.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, I mean, put yourself down.
Although he does have a point. If he turns out to be
not great, rubbish, we'll hang him next week.
Of course we won't. Now, this fella here is a writer, is a filmmaker, is a journalist and a comedian. And get this, he's just released his first feature film, One Rogue Reporter. Not a short, a feature-length
movie.
It's a satirical documentary about the tabloid press. It's got Steve Coogan, Hugh Grant, John Bishop, and loads of other great people in it. Not us, doesn't matter.
Next time.
You didn't get back to me.
One Rogue Reporter.
You didn't get back to me.
Well, when you do two Rogue Reporters, then we'll be in that one.
That's it. Yeah. You can't get in touch with him, Angelos. You have to leave a little card in the phone box next to his
Exactly.
His debut comedy show, also called One Rogue Reporter, toured in 2013. Was that where you got the idea to make a film?
Well, it kind of, the tour came to an end and I went, what am I going to do with my life? I'll tell you what, I'll just do exactly the same thing I've been doing for the last year in a different form, because I'm just at one idea, obviously.
I've been doing this for bloody about 10 years, so know what you mean.
What could you tell us about this film? Because Steve Coogan and Hugh Grant obviously playing themselves, and do you play yourself?
Well, for the most part, it's sort of I play the part of my old tabloid hack self with the long dirty Mac and the hats and all that, and I'm going after tabloid newspaper editors, my old bosses, etc., and sort of turning the tables on them and using the sort of dirty tabloid tactics against them. So hiring paparazzis and doorstepping them and generally being a right arsehole to them.
And you're not planning on working for these newspapers anymore, are you?
Well, no, I think I might have just written that off somehow.
Yeah, your bridges, mate.
I think I went back and strafed the bridges afterwards just to make sure.
So, unless I'm mistaken, you use people who have been badly treated by the tabloids to have a go back at the editors themselves.
That would be a very good summary of it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Hey, baby, it's been a pleasure.
How does the film differ from the live show?
Well, there is actually bits of the stand-up in there. It actually started with sort of doing the stand-up show and then going, well, let's just film it one night and then we'll put some of it. Because in the stand-up show, there is a video screen and you show the stunts. So I thought, well, let's film it. And we filmed it. And then I looked back at it and went, oh, I'm not very good on stage, am I? Because I think, like, when you're on stage, you and you are, and the pace of it is completely different. And I think I've got a lot more respect for people who can release a stand-up DVD. I mean, when you've got a lot of cameras, that helps, rather than doing it on two.
Yes. You can edit.
You can edit, you know, you can cut out all the
arms and arms.
Exactly. Yeah. But we looked at it and went, nah, it's not really working. And then thought, right, sod it, we're going to make a documentary. And it just spiralled from there. Just it's about 2 years, really, it's been sort of in the process of making it.
But you used to be a journalist working for these clowns.
I used to work for the Daily Star once upon a time.
And
I left about 4 years ago now by leaking my resignation letter to The Guardian, and that was the end of my tabloid career.
So what were the practices going on at the Daily Star that you thought, hold on a minute, I can't be a part of this?
I've been unhappy for quite a while, but it was mainly the sort of anti-Muslim slant that they were really pushing at the time with the English Defence League. Remember them? English Defence League when they were big? They were sort of really pushing that agenda, and I guess I just sort of snapped, really, and in a moment of sort of slightly drunken sort of anger, decided to pound out this 1,500 page. That is a big resignation letter. This big resignation letter, and then I CC'd The Guardian in, and the rest is history.
Did they publish your letter, The Guardian?
They did, yeah.
God. And what was it just saying about this is what's going on at the Daily Star, and I can't possibly be a part of it?
Well, it was also admitting to a lot of my own sort of failures as a journalist, because the thing is if you just go out swinging, sort of making out you're better than it all, then you come across like a bit of a twat, I think.
Yes.
And, so I tried to just confess all of my sin, and then once you've smashed your own glass house, you can start throwing stones.
What did other people that you'd worked with at the Daily Star, what were they thinking about you doing this?
not particularly impressed, many of them. Ah. But, you know, there was...
But was any of them thinking the same, but just not doing anything?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's the thing is, you know, I think I looked around the newsroom at the time and went, you know, I'm young... I haven't got family, I haven't got a mortgage.
Because they must all be sort of bright, intelligent
people. No, exactly. But I think that, you know, when people have got commitments, it's hard for you. It's hard for you to just go, oh, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. And journalists, there's so few jobs about, you know, people, it's a real struggle.
I mean, I have to do this shit every week. Keep my wife in Bailey's and, you know, lottery tickets, scratch cards. And if I didn't have that, I'd be at home watching Loose Women. I wouldn't
be. Anyway, yeah, no, carry on, please. Very interesting.
And then I suppose I decided it started off just as a bit of a laugh. I thought I'd go after the editor of the Mail Online, a guy called Martin Clark, by hiring a paparazzi to go down to his house.
Yes. Did you hire a paparazzi?
A paparazzi.
The one that the dwarf that used to take pictures. No,
you know what? I really wanted to get him.
Yeah. But you discussed him last week. Paparazzi.
Is that paparazzi?
Yeah, so dwarf that used to take pictures.
I used to see him at some events sometimes, yeah. There you go. He'd be a good guest.
God, I bet he could talk about
He could talk about who's got the best ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Who wears the worst knickers.
Yeah, the best angle to get a good photo.
Exactly.
Get him in, please, paparazzi.
I mean, some of those. I mean, I bet he's seen some war zones in his time. And some of the women.
Bomb
sites. Frontline journalists.
Yeah. Never mind Kate Azy. I mean, anyway. So you got down the nitty gritty. What stunts did you pull on these people?
Good question, Barrow.
You know, it's all very well saying I showed them up. What did you do? Or does it ruin the film if you tell us what you did?
I'll skirt around the edges, shall I? I mean, Martin Clark, we hired a paparazzi, follow him around, and I sort of confront him.
Martin Clark is
the editor of the Mail Online, the famous sidebar of shame. So I thought it'd be quite good to see how he'd like someone following him down the street, taking photos of him, coming out of Marks and Spencer's. He didn't like it, funny enough. No. Who else do we get? Hugh Witto, he's the editor of the Daily Express. All the stories about Madeleine McCann and all of that, we go into, and then I decide to plaster his car with front pages about Madeleine McCann while he's walking his dog, and then wait for him to come back.
In Car Shocker.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
In Return to Car.
But I think that the raison d'etre of the whole show is Kelvin McKenzie.
Yeah.
I happened to discover that he was sending some rather naughty text messages to a woman who's not his wife.
Oh dear.
And I managed to lure him into an interview pretending that I'm from a Canadian production company making a documentary about kiss and tell stories, until I start reading out his own text messages to him and cue hilarity.
He's got a temper on him, isn't he?
That was quite fun. Also, yeah.
You scared shitless, dude.
Yeah, he had a red top.
To be honest, he dug himself such a big hole early on where he's going, I don't believe in privacy. I don't believe that anything should be in the private sphere. And I said to him, you know, do you think that, you know, if some dirt was on you, that should be public? And he said, yes, I do. So by that point, I was just trying not to laugh because I realised that you've just literally done your own legs there.
Hold on,
they're going to be cheering in the cinema when they see that.
So did he sign a release form to let you use it?
Yes, there was all sorts of legal shenanigans have gone on behind the scene to make it all happen.
You duped him.
I did dupe him, yeah. No, but you know what? Kelvin McKenzie was the one person who I think deep down in his heart respected it, because he knew he'd got turned over fair and square. It was a good old tabloid expose, and I saw a glimmer in his eye as he ran for the door.
Good on you, fellas. Keeping the flame alive.
This is unbelievable. This fella is the best guest we've ever had. You win the best guest award.
What do I get? I got a cup of tea here, and I said, "Have you got a FUBAR mug?" And you went, "You haven't got any mugs."
No,
and I went, "Every radio station has got to have a mug."
We've had a few mugs. guest on here.
Get him a mug. He's the best guest bar, and mind you, we've got Bill Oddie coming up later. Yeah, well, so don't count the chickens. That.
Jesus, that's a short reign on my part, isn't it?
I know, but that's just how it goes, mate. That's show business.
Now, look,
what? Are you going
to
play
with me? I reckon we should go to a song, because this.
Let's not talk to him at all in the break.
That's
so we can shave it all for.
Absolutely. On this. Stay with us, fellas, because this one is good. This one
is a good one.
This is Heavy D.
Yeah, whatever, but he's a good one.
He's a good one. Now that we've found love, what are we going to do with it?
We'll chuck in the bin.
Come on. Now that we've found love, what are we going to do?
Chuck it in the bin.
Heavy D. Heavy D.
What a load of shit that is.
What a love. A really good song butchered by Heavy D and his drum machine.
So, back to...
We've got Ed Pepiat in the studio.
Yes.
Is it Pepiat or Pepiat?
Well, it's Rich, actually, not Ed, but with the...
I was only interested in the surname. Have I said Ed before?
No. I don't know. It's a new one.
I was going to say Rich, you said Ed.
That was Heavy D with now... And with us in the studio is Rich Pepiat.
the wonders of the edit.
Sorry.
No, we'll keep that in, honestly, as a penance. Now, back to your film. How did Coogan and Bishop and Grant all get involved with it?
I think the they've all been quite prominent people, sort of talking out about press reform, and so on that level, it wasn't too difficult, sort of getting them on board. And it's great for the film to have people like that in it.
Yeah.
And they're hilarious. I mean, like that's the other point is sadly I get upstaged in my own film by the interviewees. Is they're all really funny.
So you don't get involved with the stunts. You just
No. They're, it's more them talking about sort of the characters who I'm going after,
right.
and that sort of thing. So it's a really weird documentary in the fact that it has some bits of stand up I'm doing. It has interviews. It has stunts. It has sort of archive footage in there. I don't think it's like anything that anyone has made before. And I don't mean that necessarily in a good way. I just mean that we've made something in a weird mishmash of different elements that we hope comes together as a good documentary.
But when you approached them, did you have someone who... Andrew's looking at me in a funny way. Did you have someone who introduced you and said, look, this guy's trustworthy? Were they a little bit hesitant with...
Well, I do know them sort of through Hacked Off, which you may be aware of the campaign group Hacked Off, which I'm involved in.
Okay.
And so I know them through that, which, that's obviously a nice introduction as we're all involved in that. Yeah.
Yes, I used to clean the room after the meeting.
Yeah.
I thought I recognised you. That's right.
That's me.
But it's certainly, I remember it was the first sort of Hacked Off meeting ever. It's sort of weird. You've got all these people there who are victims of press abuse. And it's like, and you are, I'm an ex-Daily Star reporter. And they're all just like,
hello. Cash amongst the pigeons.
I have been disgusted with some of their stunts before. I'd done the cryptic crossword in the Express and they didn't do the actual answers.
No, this is
what happens and I'm furious.
Express reader then, is that your paper?
Well, yes, if I want to stretch myself, if not, it's the Star or the Beano. So what is going to happen? Where's the movie going to be on, first of all?
Well, the movie's going to be on Sheffield Documentary Festival this coming weekend, which is, I don't know, what is this coming weekend? The 8th
June.
And 9th?
It's June.
It's June. I've been in an edit weekend. Studio for too long. And the London premiere is at the Rio in Dalston on the 21st of June.
21st of June in the afternoon, did you
say? It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Can be open for tea. Will Coogan et al. Be going?
Will who?
Will Coogan et al.
I've got a kidnapper turning up at their house in the morning to escort them down with a bag over their heads to make sure they do turn up. So they may not be there
happily. The trouble is, of course, there'll be lovely photo opportunities, but there's not a paper in Britain that's going to stick them in there.
That is the funny thing.
Irony.
I might do the same with my Margaret. I have to do that when I tell her to stick a bag over her head. The council insists. but I'll see if she can calm down. But what do you think's going to happen to the future of tabloids? Is this going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back, or the is it going to make any difference?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think the Leveson inquiry's and all of that was good in the fact it sort of shone a light on all these things going on behind the scenes. But at the same time, you look, sales haven't gone particularly down. It's not like people have seen all the unethical things happening and gone, we won't buy it anymore.
Do you know what it is? I think with the Leversons, etc., I think people just go, oh, that's a good story. And then they don't actually give a shit about what it's about.
Well, that's it. It's like, oh, look, Steve Coogan's on TV.
Yeah. Talking about how bad the press is. Oh, I'm going to read about that in the newspaper.
Well, you wouldn't. Yeah, that was the thing. There was silence.
It's like that with every kind of media and news stories have been turned into entertainment. I mean, if I have to hear it one more time, but I don't like Ed Miliband. He eats his food in a funny way.
Yeah.
The man is trying to get in and run the country. What does it matter if he's got a funny mouth?
Yeah, no. I saw you two eating a bacon sandwich, and to be honest, he looked elegant doing it.
Well, it's a good job, because Angelos is running for leader of the Conservative Party.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, that's why I started to talk with my nose.
Well, I'd vote for you.
We have got Bill Oddie coming up soon, and we don't want to keep him waiting.
No, you don't want to do
he's
that.
Oddie,
but he is.
But do you know what? I think all our listeners will agree you've done a wonderful job. And whatever your name is, I've thoroughly enjoyed having you, Rich Pepiat.
Your Ed.
Thank you very much.
One of those things.
Whoever you think you are.
As well, I quite like Ed Pepiat. That's not bad. I might change it. There you go. Thanks very much for the idea.
Well, that's all right. Just tell us one more time where they can see this film.
21st of June, Rio in Dalston. And before that, 17th of June at the Red Gallery in Shoreditch, there's going to be a comedy night called One Rogue Stand Up with Kevin Eldon and Simon Munnery. And you'll see some bits of the film and that'll be a good night. So come down.
Sensational.
And will it be on general release, this film?
We are sorting that out at the moment. It will be available somehow, somewhere. I'll have to come back on and tell you, won't I?
Yeah, indeed.
Thanks, buddy boy. Thanks for coming.
All right,
wonderful. This is
fantastic.
Peace, Sabrina Johnson. In the valley, pissing the valley, pissing
the dustbin. What did you think of that, Barry?
I had piss in the city
piss
the other day and I nearly got arrested.
I'll piss in the swimming pool all the time.
I'll piss in the swimming pool.
That's yours. Now then,
Watford news from the Watford Observer. A man in his 20s, and this is not the poor fellow.
No, this is serious.
No, serious,
this is not a laughing matter.
A man was injured when he became impaled on park railings at the weekend. Suffered injuries to his buttocks.
Oh, no.
Was taken to hospital at 5:15 a.m.
Oh, God.
Bloody hell.
How did that? Hold on a minute. Let's deconstruct this.
Yeah, that's right. It sounds like it was coming out of a club or something.
What's he doing at 5:15 a.m. getting stuck on a railing?
Well, probably trying to steal the railings.
You think so? Do you think maybe he was climbing over the railings to escape somewhere?
Or to get in somewhere. Or he just liked the sensation of a rusty railing up his butt.
I will just point you out, that is what they done to Gaddafi, you know.
What, they stuck him on the railings at Castlebury Park in Watford?
No, they didn't do that, but they did get a bayonet and stuck it up his bum.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Did they?
Yeah, I'm afraid they did, yes.
Have you ever had... Well, not
I've
something.
I've had nothing to do with Gaddafi, and I had nothing to do with Libya, especially in the 80s. I wouldn't go near that place. Yes, they're oil rich, but I want no part of it, because morally I do not stand with them.
There was never proven your connections with Oliver North and the whole oil firms.
Never proven. Yes, never. I knew him. Yes.
Yeah, of course it is.
I knew him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's a nice fellow. He knew a lot of people. I knew a lot of people. But... I never had nothing to do with the Contra and the arms Contra.
Is it true
the Contras?
You used to knock about with all the leading figures from OPEC?
Yes.
That's OPEC.
Yes, but listen, a lot of people knocked about with the leaders from OPEC. My mate Barry used to.
He used to, but
can't take too much notice of what Barry says. He sniffs glue.
Yeah. So.
But I did.
You did
but
not.
But I didn't get up to no good. Oh, no, no,
what
no.
What was it now? What was it up to?
Controversial.
What was it up to?
I was just hanging out with them. Well, hey, guys, what's going on in OPEX upstairs? Oh, listen, Angelos, just don't get involved, mate. Okay. Oh, no, no, I don't want to get involved. I just thought, you know. I just wondered what he was doing. What are you doing later? We're going down to TGI Fridays and going to have some ribs. Oh, no, no, I'll come with you. Yeah, but let's not talk about OPEX.
I don't know nothing about oil or the world price.
Not now.
Cause, I mean, because I heard when they raided Gaddafi's palace, there were big pictures of the Iraq, all framed in a gilt frame.
Yeah, but that is because they were just gifts.
They were
gifts
to
him. Well,
yeah.
They were gifts to him, right? And I had pictures of him on my wall. It was just gifts, okay? There's nothing funny going on. I had nothing to do with Gaddafi's regime.
Arms.
At all.
You've
I had
done
nothing
no
to do
arms,
with arms.
Oils.
Or legs. Or oils. Or nothing to do with none of it. Okay?
Okay.
Okay? I had nothing to do with the imposed sanctions. Okay?
Right.
In Libya for all them years, I had nothing to do with it. And if you keep suggesting I did, I'm afraid I'm going to have to get my lawyers involved, which is something I don't want to do because I don't have any.
Well, you heard it here first. The Chilcot Inquiry found Angelos Epithemio entirely innocent.
It cleared me.
What did Blair famously say about you?
He said, oh, he's a right twat.
He's a right twat.
When you first meet him, but when you get to know him, he's actually quite a good laugh.
Now, listen, I'm glad we've set that to rights.
Yeah, I wanted to take this opportunity to clear the air on those matters because it was like a spectre hanging over my
That's
head,
right.
like the sword of Damocles.
That's right. And Andros' war on terror is finished. He's now got a war on wagon wheels. It's sold
minstrels.
In London. Minstrels. So it's the minstrel war he's got. And can they please provide family packs?
Because they keep melting in my hand, despite what
they say. Now, he's not prepared to go to war over it, but sanctions will be imposed on Londis.
European sanctions all across the Londis brand.
Exactly. Now, in the meantime, this is Phil Collins with Sussudio, and we're coming back straight away with one of the triumvirate that was the goodies.
The goodies.
He's an expert on birds. He used to do BBC
so
Wildlife Show. He's a genius. It's Bill Oddy after Sussudio. The old Gareth Gates number. Sussudio.
Phil Collins, what do you think of him?
It's singing to me. It always sounds like it's got potato throat.
Yeah.
Bit of your throat.
Like a bird.
Like a bird. Talking of which, on the line we've got the one and only Mr. Bill Oddy. Are you there, Bill?
Yes, I am. I've been here suffering listening to Phil Collins for 3 minutes.
That's how
have we, mate.
That's enough for my week, I can tell you.
Oh, good God, yeah.
Oh, Bill, thank you so much for joining us.
No disrespect, Phil, by the way.
But I suppose you'd want to turn off your hearing aid while that was on. I expect that would have been...
I don't need a hearing aid to hear that sort of thing.
No, it's loud enough.
Rather more subtle.
Well, this is what we wanted to speak to you particularly about, Bill, is that you are launching an online bird call webpage...
Yes.
To allow users to test their hearing against the calls of common British birds. Tell me, because you lost part of your hearing, is that correct?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, the actual website, the test, as it were, is, I'm sure you've got the website number there, but it's specsavers.co.uk, and then is it / hearing bird song or something, I think.
Yeah.
But it's a bit of fun, but comes from a serious moment that happened in my life a few years ago. Relatively recently, in fact, when I realised that I was missing certain frequencies, and it happened when I was with some friends, and we were locally on top of Parliament Hill near where I live, and there's migrating birds going over, and I was seeing them, but I was only seeing a small proportion because most of the birds that one actually sees, you hear first.
Mm.
And I realised when I had a friend standing next to me was going, oh yeah, another one, yeah, metapipic calling, oh, chaffinch. And I said, are those all calling? And he said yes, and it was this horrible moment when I thought, oh dearie me, I've actually lost some top end hearing, you know, the higher frequencies. And I knew that didn't mean just one bird, you know, there's several species that I would have difficulty hearing. So it all stemmed from that, really.
Is it a common thing to lose that sort of hearing?
It has to be accepted. You know, unfortunately, the ravages of time, and anybody, you know, by the time you get past 50, it's similar with eyes, really. You know, some people seem to get away with it, and I'm very fortunate that nothing deteriorates, but your hearing is almost certain to deteriorate a certain amount. Yeah. With any luck, it wouldn't be catastrophic. You know, it's more specific in my case because of that particular hobby, but having said that, it's a bit of, you know, I talked to one or two people and said, yes, well, I have trouble hearing the doorbell.
Yes,
I said, oh my God, that's really close to home. You know, we've got a sort of slightly tinkly chimes on the doorbell, which I really ought to change because I don't hear them. And my wife reminds me that I don't hear them all too frequently. You know, and somebody the other day I heard of who lost a job working on a building site environment because he couldn't hear the backing alarm, you know, on lorries and that. And it was dangerous. So it can be definitely a serious affliction, obviously.
Yeah.
And the thing to get over is that it's nothing to be ashamed or embarrassed about, and just to go along and have a hearing test, which is actually quite fun, actually. And we decided to make it a little bit more fun, and it's free. It's make it a little bit more fun by actually putting on this website a selection of British birds, and you know, you can test yourself and say, no, I can hear that, yeah, I can hear that. And then I'm pretty certain that quite a few people will get to one or two of them and go, I'm not sure I can hear anything on that one.
Yeah.
And certainly that's what happened to me, you know, and you realise which frequencies you're missing.
And do you now wear a hearing aid, Bill? Is that what?
Yeah.
I mean, again, there was hearing.
You know, I think we all have had that prejudice, and probably still do. You know, thinking, oh God, that really is a sign that you're getting a bit decrepit. You know, you've got you need a bath chair and a walking stick and a hearing aid and all that. You know, and I think particularly people in my generation who are the ones who are liable to have this problem, sort of brought up thinking of that as a symbol of losing your faculties, you know. But it's nothing to be ashamed of at all. And I say, go along, have the test. It's fun in itself. And then Specsavers, in this case, will sort out a sort of customised hearing aid to deal with your problems, you know.
Right, I was going to ask that because, you know, presumably hearing aids, and I'm a man of a certain age, are not, you know, what they used to be, are they? I mean, it's not like having a big ear trumpet,
not.
Is it?
No, I think if you think of the technology, you know, that's transformed phones and stuff like that, you know, just imagine the same thing will have been applied to hearing aids, and the same thing to cameras for all sorts of specialist reasons, you know, in wildlife programs, you use little tiny cameras that are shoved in places that no camera has ever wandered before, you know, and probably shouldn't in some cases, but it's much the same with the hearing aids. They're absolutely tiny. You just wouldn't notice them. You don't. I've never had anybody say, "Is that a hearing aid you're wearing?" They just don't notice, you know.
No.
And you know, did I benefit? It helps you. It
undoubtedly. There's no question at all. It was in my little world, it was a really, you know, key moment. It was a key moment I realised there were some species I couldn't hear anymore. And equally, when I went out onto Hampstead Heath again this March, just in spring, and migration was beginning to get going, and I was calling out some of the birds, you know, and saying, oh, the metapipit flying over, I just heard it.
Love it.
And my friend who's often up there with me, there's one or two other guys, you know, but I said, but you can't hear them. You told us you couldn't hear them. I said, I can now.
Oh, no, that must have been a real relief.
It was actually a very important moment. Yeah. You know, it's a little bit like if a sports person or somebody loses the speed that they had when they were younger, or the backhand isn't quite as crisp as it was, you know, and all that sort of thing. It's in that category, really.
Have you always been interested in wildlife, Bill, when you when you was in the goodies and
much so. I mean, it came from before that, you know. It came from, although I lived in a very urban area in Rochdale in Lancashire, I think it was partially to get out of the house. I can't say I had a terribly jolly home life. And sometimes it was definitely not. Sorry, I'm coughing so much. And then we moved to the edge of Birmingham, and that continued there. So I think I got on my bike and headed off to the countryside as often as I could, and I rapidly became, you know, intrigued, particularly with birds. And then as years have gone on, that's just continued.
Now, something I wanted to ask you, Bill, is a few years ago we met in a different incarnation, and you said to me, this is rather depressing for any young people listening, but you said that you often go around the country and you're doing a talk about sort of ecology and birds and wildlife, and there'll be a sort of mayor of some town who'll say, now listen, children, because it's their future, and in a few years' time, there won't be these birds. And you go, no, it's not in a few years' time, it's now.
Yes.
That's a problem. Have we turned the corner? Because this is about 10 years ago you said that.
It's funny you remember that, because I'm afraid I've had reason to quote exactly that incident several times.
Really?
I remember the mayor saying something like, ecology is lovely for the children. You know, he's sort of muttering to myself, it's quite important to us, actually. I wish I could say that that has actually come to pass, but frankly, it hasn't. You know, it's wonderful that we have far more facilities than there ever was, far more information.
Yes.
So the internet, you've got wonderful organizations that will make wildlife and outdoor activities interesting for kids, and they go on. I'm not saying they don't enjoy it, they usually do, but it unfortunately, these things fade as they get older.
Yeah.
And also, one of the most disappointing things is, particularly abroad, I used to go to Cyprus quite a lot, and I kind of avoid it now, but because it's always been one of those places in the Mediterranean where there's a lot of hunting, a lot of shooting, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to people there in the 80s, and them saying, we're going to start a lot of education for the kids, and that's going to mean that the kids won't grow up to be hunters and netters and trappers in the same way that their parents were. But unfortunately, I get information from Cyprus all the time and up to date, and it's if anything, it's worse than it was 20 or 30 years ago.
Why are they hunting in Cyprus, then, Bill?
Well, most of these things start off with a reasonable excuse, for want of a better word, but similarly in Malta, where I went two or three weeks ago and saw a similar situation, it's even more sort of appalling there, because there's no reason for the shooting of all these migrant birds. It's purely target practice, it really is.
God, it's so
but
depressing.
Once upon a time, it would have contributed to the food, you know, it would have been a variety of the food, but those things disappear, and it's no more valid, it's no more necessary than fox hunting in this country. And I guess you look for smidgens of encouragement, you know. Maybe 20 or 30 years ago, the fox hunting fraternity thought they were safe and would always be. And of course, finally, the Hunting with Dogs Act was passed about 10 years ago and has held fast. And I think, frankly, people would be appalled at the rumours and possibly truths that this particular government
might bring it back.
Might bring it back, yeah. Exactly.
Bill, it's an absolute pleasure. Can we just, because I'm feeling a little bit depressed by that now, can we just finish with something about the goodies? Is it back on recently in some form?
It was on the other day.
It's
quite strange, really, because I sort of disappeared for a while. I wasn't too well for a bit, a few years ago, and that sort of thing. And sort of, but recently, you know, and I said to be on every few days.
Oh,
I mean, I did some little pieces for Springwatch, and that's been on Tuesday each week, and I think again next week. And then suddenly they had this 70s night on BBC Two, and there was the Goodies Bank slap in the middle of it, you know.
Love it. Well, my grandson saw that, and he laughed his head off.
Well, good. I think, I really do think, and not for purely commercial reasons, but, you know, I have this quite a bit, you know, where people are going to send, oh, I got this for my kids and told them to watch it. And I don't think there's any question at all that it would be very popular.
It's, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You think, come on, even a children's repeat channel, just bung some of those out, I think they would be very popular.
Wonderful. Yeah. Bill, listen, it's been an absolute joy.
Thank you.
And so if anyone's interested, you go to Specsavers.
It's specsavers.co.uk.
Yes.
That gets you into their territory, and then it's /hearing/birdsong.
Bill, thank you very much for taking the time, and best of luck to you.
What a pleasure.
What a pleasure.
A legend.
Hey, listen, I got to share this with somebody.
Oh, go on.
This is, talk about a treat from heaven. I'll give you a clue. It's The Purple Rain is falling on Hampstead this evening. And what that means is that Prince announced, as is his wont, suddenly on the website, that he was playing two concerts just down the road, half a mile away. And amazingly, I was out all day, but amazingly, my daughter and my wife immediately got on, and they got tickets.
Ah.
It never happened.
So you're going tonight. When is it? When
tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
Have
a fantastic time, mate.
Yeah.
We're
the hearing aid for that one, man.
Yeah.
Turn it
yes, I want it up, louder.
Cheers, Bill. Lots of love.
Have a lovely
time.
Okay,
mate. Cheers,
take
care.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Wonderful.
Bye-bye.
That is
Bill Oddie there.
Bill Oddie.
Prince. Who'd have thought?
Bill Oddie. As that's a proper one, that's another
legend, along with Biggins. He's right up there.
Absolutely.
Right up there. Kings of the 70s.
Then I'll tell you, in this order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Here we go.
7, 3, 4,
that's
9.
That's great, isn't it?
I hate that song.
No, it's great, I see.
Oh. Oh, yeah, it's great.
It's really great.
Yeah.
Although I hate it.
I hate that song.
Anyway.
I hate it.
The New Radicals.
Yeah, well, they can keep their old radishes.
Do you know, they're always on the radio playing that song, aren't they? Is it because it's middle of the road?
It's middle of the road. It's totally inoffensive.
That's it.
And it's got a poppy melody, even though it's a classic and a challenging song.
And you know the other one that they always play?
Is
a similar sort of middle of the road, Prefab Sprout.
Oh, Prefab Sprout.
And there's another one. What's the one which goes...
Bastille.
Cannonballs and Dubbadas and Zubbers in the Air.
Oh, that's the Water Boys.
The Water Boys. That's another middle of the road.
He stole the whole of the moon.
The whole...
Tell you what, mate, Barry.
Yes?
You write yourself a middle of the road track. You can live in Barbados for the rest of your bloody life,
Viennetta every day.
You can eat that shit all day.
Babe,
you can get
but
stoned. You can suck on the bong.
It's easy, isn't it? It's I love you, you love me, you don't love me, I love you.
Let's go to the woods.
Let's go to the woods.
Let's come back again.
That's a horrible song. Let's go to the woods. That's not middle of the road.
It is.
Let's go to the woods.
It's a road in the middle of the woods.
That sounds horrible.
Let's go into the woods.
Let's go into the woods and pull your knicker down. Oi, get the lie down on the ground. Oi, get into the woods. Oi, yeah, so if anyone, if Cal's listening, if he's still listening from Ray Quinn's interview.
If you're interested in signing a couple of guaranteed winners, then just get in touch here at FUBAR. You can talk to my people.
Yeah.
And if the money's right and you're willing to stick it on the table there and then in a bag of cash, then I'll consider signing for you.
That's the A side of Into the Woods We Go, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And with the B side of wasn't me, officer, it was all a misunderstanding.
It was someone else, so I had nothing to do with it. I was in Eastbourne.
Now, funny you should say that, because what needs recording this time of year for now is a new World Cup song. And I heard one yesterday from Omid Jalili, which was absolutely Fantastic.
Yeah.
And what I think we should do is write our own
do
one.
Do our own one, yeah. Yeah. It's football, it's going to Brazil. We're going to win the World Cup. There's about 11 of us on the pitch, kicking a ball around, and Wayne Rooney's gonna stick it in the net.
Roy Hodgson, don't bodge, son. We're gonna win the cup this year.
Nice one, son.
No, John Terry is home in bed with Mary, who's the wife of one of the squad.
And his knees have gone. In goal, we've got Joe Hart, who's got a lot of heart.
Oh, good.
He's got big hands and he likes his balls and he's got dandruff as well.
How do I know that?
Well, he's in the adverts for Head and Shoulders and he must be cleaning up with that.
The other one I saw endorsing a product was Raheem Sterling, and he goes to Subway.
Oh, yes, yes.
He's earning buckets and he can have the footlong any time he wants to. Well, now that will be available
bad,
from Monday.
That's not bad.
The third verse needs a little bit of work.
Not really, though.
Not really.
Just a few touch-ups.
And that's
available in the
that's
show.
Available in our
World Fubar, official Fubar World Cup.
That's the official Fubar. So
available on the downloads, the iTunes.
And a moment we've got.
Oh, they're gorgeous! Yes. I mean, we've had some attractive birds in the show.
Oh God, but this one's at least a 7 out of 10.
Honestly, she is world famous, Laura
Prodelska
off of Game of Thrones. Now, little bit of background.
Little bit of background.
He's from Germany,
but don't turn off.
Right,
all friends.
Yeah, we're all friends now. What Barry? If he had a fault in the war,
well, if I had, yeah,
but he didn't.
No, of course not.
But if we had fought the Germans, which we never done. We would have left this one alone.
Yeah, this one, she's all right.
She's nice.
She's a nice one, not one of the Nazis.
No, she's not like a Nazi. She's a lovely lady.
And she's on Game of
Thrones. She's on the Game of Thrones.
She's not on the game.
No, no.
She's on the TV show, the Game of Thrones, on the Sky.
And she's going to come in a minute and we're going to have a chat with her all about what she's done in her life and how she's ended up on the Game of Thrones and what she's going to do next. By the way, she's in Doctor Who, so there you go.
She's in all the good stuff.
She's a big star.
But until she is ready and she's just doing her makeup.
Do you know what? She's a really nice lady.
She's a nice lady. She looks nice. I'm looking at her. She looks lovely, doesn't she?
Nice,
lovely.
Yeah.
Because we've had some very attractive ladies.
Oh, yeah,
isn't
oh,
it?
Yeah.
Oh
no,
God, yeah.
Class one birds.
And we had that class one, what was she, her name? She turned up Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, Sophie Anderton. We had her on.
It was lovely.
She was nice.
Beauties.
Okay.
In the meantime, just some wonderful news for anyone who's in Watford and the surrounding areas. According to the Watford Observer, the Antiques Roadshow will be filming for its 37th series in the grounds of Chaney's Manor.
Chaney's Manor.
On Thursday, July
3rd. I'm going to that.
Now, what have you got that you want to hand in for valuation?
Gas meter.
Oh, you've got a gas meter?
Yeah, I ripped it out from underneath my stairs. I reckon it must have been in there since the 50s.
That is probably worth a couple of shillings if you break it open and
pull
them out. They're probably still in there.
Yeah, yeah, but someone's going to want it, aren't they?
If you want a gas meter, meet Angelos at Chaney's on July the 3rd. It'll be the one holding a gas
meter. And honestly, if you don't get there quick, I'll just go and I'll chuck it on eBay.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You want to get there quick.
Get in there nice and quick. What normally happens with Antiques Roadshow, and any of my myriad of followers will know this, I normally get a little bit pissed up on a Sunday, and I tweet during Antiques Roadshow. This is true. problem is, when you then look back at it later, makes you look a little bit nasty. Trolling, I think the word is.
Yeah,
you know, taking the mickey out of people who were standing there in their shoddy goods.
Yeah.
And it's funny at the time, but I was regretting.
You wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's
a lot of shelf loathing.
And you go, why did I do that?
And a hangover.
That's it. And, and also about 2,000 or 3,000 lighter on the followers.
Yeah, yeah.
And you think, I've disappointed some people there, you know.
You've pissed a few people off. Let's not forget they're on their 37th series, so they must be doing something right.
They're doing
on the
something
Antiques
right.
Roadshow.
They're doing something
so
right.
So they don't really need to listen to your funny remarks. Thank you very much, Barry.
No, exactly. Mm. But some of the things, I mean, I'd have more nudes.
Yeah,
I'd have more war stuff. That goes nice.
I'd get a few more mad people on there.
Mad people,
you know, shelling their
people
stuff.
With beards and that.
Yeah.
People who the homeless. I think I'd like to see more high value stuff. That's what people like when
they want to see stuff. And what you want to see stuff that people think, oh yeah, it's been in the family for a little while.
And suddenly,
and they go, well, do you know how much it actually was? Well,
I've never really thought about it.
No. I don't suppose you have. No, it's why you come all the way down
that's
here
right.
to Antiques Road. Who are you trying to blinking fool?
Yeah.
What are you nuts? We all know what you're doing here anyway. It's worth $3,000.
And then you go, I wouldn't part with it. Derek, start the car. We'll get down to the antiques bloke in the ice
street. Get down to Lodge Road and bang it in the auction.
Before they've even had a chance to sign a form that says you can use it on the telly, they're off in a flipping motor car spending it all on booze.
Why not?
Bloody bastard.
Off to Calais.
Off to Calais. Now, we have got coming in the studio, Laura, in a minute. And so stick with us. And until then, we've got this
awful... She looks
awful
quite nervous, though.
I don't know why. She looked lovely. She's waving again. Lovely. Oh, some gentlemen coming. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Jesus...
Mary Chain. Oh, finally!
Fuck on and out.
Something good.
Laura's coming up in a sec. For any of you Game of Thrones fans.
Game of Thrones fans. I like that song.
I like it.
And it's got a bit of edge to it, isn't it? Bit of bollocks. Very nice.
England are going to win the cup. England are not going to win the cup.
So, we're here in the studio with the gorgeous Laura Pradelska.
Hello.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I pronounce it Laura Pradelska, but either one works.
Well, I'm not going to pronounce it like that.
What a voice.
You two are very gorgeous too, aren't you?
Yes, you're right.
I'd give you a 9 out of 10.
Oh!
Hello!
That's
the first time Barry's ever had a 9 out of 10.
Oh, I'll tell you what,
both of you.
When I was a young man, I couldn't beat them off with a dirty stick in them days.
You couldn't.
Yeah, I can see that.
You've got a lovely smoky voice.
Thank you. I don't smoke anymore.
Lovely voice. What is it? Is it the tracheotomy? It's probably that's what it
the
is.
Operation,
the operation. This woman is a wonder, she's also
An international superstar.
She's an international superstar. Oh. Yeah. Born in Germany,
Frankfurt,
in 1947. I'm only joking.
No,
she's lovely. She's from. I'm only kidding. She spent several years in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Relocated to London and was accepted at the prestigious drama centre. She's worked as solidly as an actor and voiceover artist. What things do you voice over in? Lambert and Butler?
Yeah. Who wrote this? This is interesting.
Oh, we've made it all up.
We just need to nod.
Just fill the gaps in.
Sounds a lot more fascinating than
she's done a lot of lovely stuff. But anyway, the thing is, she's in 2011.
Point is.
Laura was cast as
Quay
in Games of Thrones, season 2.
On the skies.
Tell me.
Yes.
What is it about that show that everyone loves so much?
Everyone loves it!
I think nudity, really.
Can you say that again slower?
You think
nudity.
Oh, my goodness.
And some violence.
And violence.
Oh, gosh. Not so keen on the violence.
And also, of course, interesting characters and great storylines and great costumes.
Yeah, but it's mostly the boobs, really.
Yeah,
boobs,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Which I sadly don't get to show.
Oh, well, so that can be arranged.
Can it?
You know someone in the script department, don't you, Barry?
Yeah, I know that. Well, I know someone here at FUBAR, or BooBAR, as I'm going to call it.
Oh, is this the casting session?
Well,
for,
I mean, it can be. It can be, if you like.
It can be.
So what does your character do in this boob fest?
I'm going to get fired for this. What does my character do? My character prophesizes. She gives prophecies. She says, go left instead of right.
Go longish.
Type of thing. Do this instead of that. Yeah. And some of them probably become true.
Some of them come true and some of them don't.
And maybe they don't.
Yeah, no, that's like most
people.
She's
a bit on the fence. she's on the fence.
That's what I do. Go left, Barry. Go right.
I like to go on the fence.
It'll either be right or wrong, mate.
Yeah. I'm not talking politically.
That's right. We're keeping within the keeping of the series.
So... She predicts things.
And she just kind of magically shows up. She's a sorceress.
You're a white witch.
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
Yes and no. We don't really know. I mean, it's between, there are those between good and evil, and I'm kind of in the middle.
Maybe you should ask someone who's writing it. Then you'll know.
Stricken.
A little bit in the dark at the
moment. I can imagine they don't get much say. It plops on their mat I'm a good witch or I'm a bad witch.
Yeah. Do you know what? I didn't even question it when I got it. My question was, do I have to show my boobs, yes or no? And even if I did, it would have been cool.
Well,
so
that's how you got the gig here. So
thank you.
That's right,
my darling.
So, where do you film it?
So, I film mostly in Croatia, in Dubrovnik, which is absolutely beautiful. Very near
Greece.
Yes,
Greece.
Yes, very
good. Right.
Yes.
And Greece, that's where I'm based mostly, and because I'm a desert priestess, really. So I'm lucky I don't have to be in Iceland, which I'm sure is absolutely gorgeous.
They film a lot in Iceland.
Iceland.
Do they make Kelly Katona there a lot? Yeah. They're congering around the room with Biggins.
Yeah.
And someone off of Atomic Kitten.
Yeah, prawn ring.
Well, I have had that before in Croatia, what happens when you go on holiday.
Yeah.
I had a chicken zinger once. Have you ever seen the chicken zinger they do at Iceland?
Yeah,
no.
Seen it, yeah.
Chicken zinger.
It's about a quid, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's more of a description of the product on the way out.
Yeah,
especially if you've had the prawn ring.
I know.
But,
anyway.
Sorry, Iceland, yeah. I digress. So you haven't been to Iceland?
I haven't been to Iceland.
Presumably some of the cast have been to both places.
I think some of them have. I think the lead characters probably travel around more because that's kind of what the show is about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just travel from place to place. But since I'm a desert priestess, I think I'll stick with the warm weather.
Yes, nice.
Yeah.
One. Nice.
Yeah, so
warm-blooded creature.
Like you.
Yeah, very much so. And how long have you been living in London and all that?
So I have been
talk
living
about the real Laura,
the real
not quaife.
Okay. I have been living in London almost, I think, 7.5 years.
Okay.
And I lived in Los Angeles before, and I like it here much better.
Oh, do you? So
do
I.
Do you? Much yeah, because you were in LA for about 10 years.
I was in LA.
Yeah, I was a child.
Yeah. No,
me
right.
And, the Sheens, just hang around with Martin Sheen and
you
that.
Nearly done Wall Street, didn't you?
I nearly done Wall Street, but I didn't in the end. I decided to come back to Watford, because
LA's all very but can you get the early bird at the harvester a third off before 7 o'clock? No, you can't.
Can you?
No, you can't. No, you definitely can't.
What's it like? Why is it better over here?
I think, for one, there are seasons.
Yes, you're
seasons,
right.
Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Not to complain. Great weather is wonderful, but sometimes you just want it to rain and you just want it to be cold.
Yes, I don't really
do you have
that.
Seasons in Frankfurt?
You do have seasons in Frankfurt, yes. But I left Frankfurt when I was 17, for Los Angeles. And
I can't blame you, but why did you leave?
I left because I fell in love with LA when I was 16. A friend took me out there and I saw it and I thought, oh my God, this is the place to be.
And did you go to LA and go, I'm going to be an actor? Or did you go, you were in Germany going, I'm going to be an actor?
I'll go to LA and have a look.
No, I went to LA thinking I'm going to be a star.
Oh, a star.
Yeah, and clearly that didn't quite work out.
Well, no, you
didn't. So I came to London.
Playing twice.
Well, what case happened here? I think actor was probably the more PC version, but I think everyone goes to LA and thinks, be a star.
And did you meet any stars?
Stars. Yes, with a few. No, I'm joking. No, I'm not joking. I probably met a few.
Probably. Either you would know, you're the only one who would know this.
I might have to take this to my grave.
Oh, shame. When there's a song on, we'll ask you again.
Yes. Okay, let's do that.
And we won't tell them.
And then we won't tell anyone.
We'll just know.
Promise
it
not to.
Out.
But you did meet some good
people. Yes, I did meet some great people. Yeah. And none from Watford.
No,
sadly.
Elton John.
And no.
George Michael.
Oh.
He's from Watford.
Yeah, I never met him.
Jerry Halliwell.
Jenny Eclair.
No one ever met her.
Steven Spielberg, he's from Watford.
Of course.
The Queen Mother.
She's from Watford.
Gandhi.
Yeah, he's from
Watford. You have a lot of famous
Lawrence of Arabia.
Lawrence Llewellyn Bone. Yeah. Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh. Maybe you did meet some of these people.
You know what? Maybe I did. Yeah. But yes, LA was wonderful for the time being.
How long were you there for?
There for about 9 years.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you get any work out of there?
Yeah, a little bit. I was in the background of a rap video.
Not bad.
This is actually a true story. I really was. And you can also Google
what
it.
What was your rap video?
Is it okay to say?
Yes, of course. You can say whatever you like.
Go on.
I played a crack whore in 187 of an undercover cop.
No, there's no need for language. Sorry. That's the end of that. No, thank you. No,
it was a role. My parents were
appalled over the moon.
No, they were proud that I got any work. I got a little bit of work. Yeah, I did.
But that you mentioned your parents. I mean, it's a funny thing for Herren Pradelska to let you Frau Pradelska and Herr Pradelski to let you go off like that. It is a funny thing. It's a brave thing to just get up and go. Yeah, and I like the way you said I wanted to be a star.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I don't think they had a choice because I started working in Germany and I made a little bit of money I just left.
I just
took off and they were super supportive about it.
Oh, that's nice. Tell me, you did a one-woman show in Edinburgh.
I did,
yeah. What was that called?
It was, I played Mrs. X in a play by Strindberg.
Oh.
And she is a woman that was cheated on.
Yeah.
And I had a wonderful evening where I had two people in the room, as you do sometimes in Edinburgh.
I know.
A reviewer and my father.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Sold out.
It was a hit.
Now, you thought you was going on tour with that, didn't you, with that show? Is that right?
No. I played a stripper after that in a one-woman show.
That's what I'm talking about.
Forget the Strindberg. Let's hear about the other.
I want to know about the stripper.
The stripper got me an award as well. The Strindberg didn't really interest anyone.
No,
what was the award for the stripper?
Nicest
stripper?
Best stripper. No, it was the Fringe Report Award.
The Minge Report? Oh, sorry. Pathetic. Absolutely.
You've invited this beautiful young woman on here.
Giggles. Fringe Report.
Okay.
As in fringe shows.
Yes.
So
yeah,
best actor on the fringe.
Bloody
not
hell.
On the stripping
circuit. No.
It was a stripper with a heart, if I may just add.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, she had a heart.
And then someone spotted you.
Yeah, someone spotted me.
And they said, we want to take that on tour.
Yeah.
And what happened?
What happened?
Did you go on tour around old
Why
people's
don't you
homes?
Spit it out.
Oh, you are so naughty.
What happened?
Okay.
It's a good story, though.
Well, to be honest, as far as I remember, was that that was another show,
which we won't mention.
But I was invited to go on a tour.
And you were over the moon, weren't you?
Over the moon is an understatement.
Yeah. To two old people's homes.
Well, I did.
Wait
first of
a
all,
minute.
Well, he already
I've ruined the punchline.
He ruined the punchline, which is fine. But I was invited. I was invited to. I know, sorry. I was invited to go on a tour, and I thought I had made it. Because yes. If you're invited to go on a tour and someone is paying for you to go to different places and to go stay in a hotel, then you kind of made it, right?
Yeah,
I would think. That's I know Game of Thrones was many, many years away. But anyways, and then I found out there is different levels of tour, as in there is a
number one,
number two,
and then the art centres.
Yeah.
And then below that.
And then very below. And the tour I had booked was a tour -5 would probably be the right.
Elderly people's house.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say that. I mean, they would. I mean, you said that. I don't know if that. And which I would have. But I just don't think they would have appreciated that particular character.
I've seen you before. Have you still got that mole up? Let me just. Oh, yeah, still there.
Yes, yeah, still there.
I thought that was you.
So I didn't do that.
Didn't make it on that account.
No. But fingers crossed, I will get another tour offered one day.
I can assure you, if you want to pop round to my house, it's a start.
A tour in Watford would be great.
It'd be small, and it wouldn't last long, but it would be great.
It would last until my wife came home from the shops, to be precise. Give it a cut. Look, we're here with Laura Pradelska, and she is going to come back in a minute. In the meantime, we're going to ask her all the famous people she slept with in LA. This is called Dreamer by Living Joy. Sounds shit, but we'll give it a go.
It's rubbish. What a load of old bollocks, eh?
I think we've probably had enough of that. Now, we are here with Laura Pradelska. She plays Quaithe in Game of Thrones. And she's here now. Now, what we want to know is... You can make a lot of money from them conventions.
Oh, yeah. They're bigger ladies' conventions.
Yeah.
Full of nutcases.
I wouldn't say that.
No, but I would. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, you can make money. And
How much?
It's a...
Precisely.
How much money do you make when you go there?
I swear I can't say.
Oh, go on.
I can't say. I couldn't.
Go on.
Is it over £100?
How much should I pay you?
I'll write it down on a note and pass it over to you.
There's a pen, stick it down.
Oh!
Yeah, I know.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
We're in the wrong game.
We certainly are.
But maybe I could hook you up with conventions. Maybe should we pretend we've been in? Because you two have fans, right?
We sort of have a couple of fans.
I love conventions. They're amazing.
What do you have to do when you go to conventions?
Do you know what? It is probably for me anyway, it's a dream. You sit there and you talk about yourself and you sign pictures of yourself.
Yeah.
And you meet people who love your character.
Oh, and you're like a star.
And then you get to meet people like, I'm not joking, the last person I met at a convention was Mike Tyson.
Oh,
my goodness.
I met Tyson. Mike Tyson.
What did he play?
The baddest man on the planet?
He played himself.
In Game of Thrones?
Because I don't only do Game of Thrones. I do like conventions like Comic-Con. So you have wrestlers there. You have the Doctor Who cast there. Yeah. And
are they all in hotels in Las Vegas? These conventions?
This one was in London at Earl's Court.
Okay.
And someone came up and said, Mike Tyson's a big fan of the show. He wants to meet you guys. And I thought,
okay.
Oh, my God.
He's still got that tattoo on his face.
He was talking with a really interesting voice.
Yeah. He sort of talks like that, doesn't he? Like strange lisp and, you know, like
exactly
that.
How he talks.
I know.
And he was very large, very good-looking.
Good-looking?
I thought he was good-looking, yeah, with a tattoo on his face.
On his face. Yeah.
So that was...
But for every Mike Tyson that you get at a convention, you do get a lot of weirdos.
Yes.
I mean...
She's not allowed to say.
She's not allowed to say, but I will say on her behalf
yes.
that you get a lot of weirdos there.
Well,
slightly overweight gentleman with breathing problems.
Oh, but I fancy those most.
Oh,
I love those. Yeah, no, those are the greatest ones. I mean, you get the strange thing is, I think, when they wear the costumes.
That's always.
It's not strange, actually. It's kind of sexy and interesting, and also weird, and weird. So, but yeah, I love conventions. I can't get enough.
No, how many have you done of these?
I haven't done that many. I've done maybe 8 or 9.
So. That's quite a lot. That's quite
me,
a lot of conventions.
Yeah. That's a lot of conventions.
I think that's probably more days than you've had on Game of Thrones.
Do you? So when you stay in a nice hotel and all
I
that,
do. Yeah.
And do you have a laugh with the others and get pissed out?
Yeah,
that?
I totally have a laugh. Oh, get wow.
Who did you go to conventions with?
Well, the last few I've not been with anyone
just
I
on your
know
own.
Because
just drinking a mini bar
just
trolley.
Yeah, just me on my own.
Yeah, really.
having some nice fun, life. Actually, I do hang out with. I did meet a really cool pair of twins from Venezuela. They're some action. It's really true. They're a pair of action hero twins that have been in, I think, some Quentin Tarantino films.
Okay.
Yes. They're extremely good looking, and they were sitting next to me, and so I hung out with them. Twisted.
Nice.
Really? I notice you're wearing.
Do they do everything together, those twins? Tight lip to
Well, I mean.
Tight lip to guy.
I doubt it. I hope not.
No,
I notice you're wearing a lovely diamond ring. Are you engaged?
Yeah.
Is he an actor later?
Oh, God, no.
No, who'd want that?
No.
What does he do, this gentleman?
He's going to love this. He is... Because every time I explain it, I mess it up.
Taxi driver.
Oh, I know.
He's a graphic designer. Ooh. And he's a broadcast designer now. And he works for Eurosport.
Do you know that could be Chinese to me? Yeah, a graphic designer
you.
And a product. What was it?
No. He's a broadcast designer.
Barry, I've met him.
Yeah,
and
he's
a lovely fella.
He's lovely.
Is he? He's a lucky fella.
She struck gold.
I'm the lucky one, believe me.
Is he
honestly,
English fella?
He's so English. He's from Essex.
Essex?
Yeah, we met in a nightclub. Classy.
Oh, yes. Perfect.
In King's Cross, actually.
Oh, nice.
The Fine Scotsman.
So every time I drive by there and I see people outside drunk, I go,
that could be Ash.
How long ago was that?
This is when I hadn't lived here that long. This was about 5 years ago.
You thought that was the place to go and find a fella.
Place to go to find a fella. I can highly recommend it.
Yeah.
I don't need one now. I've been married for...
You're not that way.
No. Oh, you know, okay.
No,
I didn't think you were.
No, I like ladies. Ladies.
Yeah, you do like ladies.
I like ladies. When I was doing my national service, fellas used to take the tops off. You hadn't seen a lady for quite some time.
And also, you just go with what you got.
You go with what you got.
Yeah. When I was in prison.
When you was in prison, you had a long-term affair with one of the wardens, didn't you?
Yeah.
It was a lady, but didn't I look like a fella?
You looked like a fella.
Okay.
Just a little bit of mystery.
Smoking a pipe, massive penis.
Yep, he's sliced 13 feet.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you. I don't give a shit.
Congratulations for that. When's the wedding, Joe?
The wedding has been. I'm married, but I can't find my wedding.
Oh, that's nice.
You can't find your wedding.
I probably should not be saying this on the radio, but yes.
Does he know that?
He will now.
Oh, no.
So, thank you, sir,
it's a legitimate question, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But also, I can't find it, but not because I lost it. I just misplaced it.
Okay, well, it's around somewhere.
It's definitely around.
What you've got on there is lovely on its own.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
How much is it worth?
Again, let me have that paper really quickly. Yeah, it matches the number of the convention.
It looks like a lot more than that.
It really does, but it's good, Elizabeth Duke. I've always thought that.
Yeah.
Right. Oh gosh, isn't it?
We have got in the studio Laura Pradelska. I think that she's allowed to make a move in a sec because we're nearly finished the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh,
I really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure, and you can come again.
Oh, you've just upped it to 10 out of 10 for me.
No, because honestly, Laura, we've had some real twats on
you. We really have.
I'll tell you about my LA guys if you tell me who the twats were.
Oh, well.
We'll go to this song.
Yes.
We don't want to mention no names.
No, I'm not on the air.
This is a... what the hell is this? Listen to this. Look.
What's this? What is it?
It's horrible. It's called Ain't Talking About Dub. It's Apollo 4-4.
Put something else on.
Hold on, just a minute.
Get rid of it.
That's terrible. This is one of my favourites. Oh, yeah.
I like this.
It's
Morrissey.
The last and the famous international playboy.
Oh, that's me, that is.
Oh, I love Morrissey.
Oh, you are, you know. Something about him, you know.
Something about him.
Something
He's ever so good in men behaving badly, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
For anyone who's going...
He's in Waterloo Road now.
He is in that, and he's in that play in the Western Relative Values with Patricia Hodge.
I don't know about that.
We've had a lot of theatrical references today, haven't we?
Yes, we did. We've done all the old EastEnders in Shakespeare business.
We've done that Strindberg she mentioned.
Strindberg,
or someone
know.
Else.
I know what she was talking about, Strindberg.
I didn't know what it was.
I
don't
know who that is.
I thought it was
just... I thought it was your car insurance company.
No, that's Direct Line.
Oh, right.
You know what I was going to say? For any kids...
Computer.
Do you know the one we've had that conversation. The one where that robot goes on. Yeah. That's a waste of my life looking at that.
Because it bloody goes on and on.
Oh,
and on
it's
and
such
on.
Rubbish, isn't it? What I was going to say was...
Great company, though.
Great company.
No, really good. I mean, if you want insurance, confused.com is a great company.
And if anyone from there's listening,
anyone's listening,
we'd like to do.
I'd like to be insured by you for nothing.
Me too. What I was going to say was, if you are doing a pub quiz or some such thing, or at Christmas, and the question comes up, what is Morris's only number one hit?
Yeah.
Do you know what the answer is?
I think it would be... I don't know.
Postman Pat, because it was Neil Morrissey.
Oh, that's...
Let's
go fair.
Who have we got coming on the show next
week? Well, let me tell you something.
Please do.
We're supposed to have Abu Anja come in, right, next week. But he's been banged up, selfishly.
We'll let him in by hook or by crook.
We'll have a word with his bloody agent, mate. I tell you what, booking people like that when you know he's about to do life in prison.
He's doing life,
isn't he? It's outrageous.
Oh, God. We were... Who else were we supposed to have?
Colin Baker.
Colin Baker off of Doctor Who.
Colin Chalmers. Craig Chalmers. He's played Fly Half of Scotland about 1987.
Colin Swash, the composer for television.
Chalmers, woman from the holiday programme with a tan.
Billie Holiday and Billie Holiday.
Yeah, the Holiday and Holiday
the
connection.
The Holiday connection. Holiday 78, we're going to come on with Frank Boff.
Film 92.
Blink 101. Level 42, yeah, we've done this
again,
before.
Yeah, you'll be 40.
We've done that before.
We don't know
the numbers. No, we don't know Strictly
the
canon.
The numbers just don't add up.
It was going to be Abu Hamza, but he scratched his eye with his hook.
And now his eye, can't see
anything. He can't see anything.
He scratched his arse.
He scratched his arse and managed to impale himself.
No, he damaged his piles.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He's going to be in hospital next week.
He'll be in D Wing.
So sorry.
So if there's any... I'll tell you what.
Without guests
is
next
an
week.
Idea. It's an idea. What about any of the listeners who have a connection with a celebrity type? And they might say, well, you know, Gary Lineker, or that's often
Gary
song,
Bushell.
Gary Bushell. Do you fancy going on a show? We'd like
To hear you on a show.
Yeah, we get them in here.
Please contact foobarradio.com.
And you can text Barry at what's the... Oh, it's hello. Email Barry and Angelos at foobarradio.com. And you can come on the show and bring them on, and you can even sit in the studio.
Yeah, you can do that if you want.
But what I'm going to do now, after this show, do you know what I'm doing?
You're going to go to the bog.
I'm going to go to the bog. We'll go out.
Yeah.
We'll try and beat off the hordes of fans who wait outside the studio.
The birds.
And then I'm going to go home.
What are you
going
to do?
I'm going to put my feet up.
What are you
doing? And I'm going to have some of my wife's chicken soup.
Oh.
Because what we do is we have a chicken of a weekend.
Oh, chicken.
Have a roast chicken.
Yeah.
What you should always do is leave the leftovers for a soup.
That's it.
And then we boil that right down.
Yeah.
Any of the marrow out of the bones we take out, we make a sort of pate.
Okay.
The bones we fashion into some sculpture.
Yeah.
The skin we stretch out and use it as an awning for the back garden.
Oh, right.
We don't leave nothing.
No, native Indians, ain't you?
We use every bit of it.
I do the same thing with the chicken Kiev. I'll have that for Sunday roast, and then I'll only eat half of it. And then on Monday, I'll boil up a bowl of water and then bung it in.
Yeah.
And it just sort of bobs around there.
That's it.
Like it's floating at sea.
Yeah.
And it just waters it down a bit.
But it's waste not want.
It is waste not want.
Make do and mend.
I bung me greens in it and all.
Your clothes you've been washing in there at the same time. Wash the car with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, because the ice caps are melting.
Don't go mental with stuff.
Don't go mental.
We only have limited
resources in this world.
Yeah.
So, on that bombshell, we are going to say goodbye because we got a song coming up now. What are you going to do when you go home?
Oh, I'm going to have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have a cup of tea.
A good old cup of tea.
A cup of tea. And then...
have a long, hard think about the crap you've spat.
Yeah, I just go through this show thinking, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, I know.
I'll have to go through some, you know...
I said the word...
deepest, darkest moments of the soul.
I said a terrible word today, do you remember, in the show? Rhymes with fringe.
Oh, yeah, I remember,
I'm not proud of that.
Yeah, but it's funny.
Well, you say that.
Yeah.
All right, well, join us next week.
Look, don't beat yourself up about it, Barry.
I'm sorry about that, everyone.
No, don't do that. Don't do it to yourself.
Don't do it to yourself.
No. Accept what you've said.
We'll have drawing room comedy next week. Sort of proper style and stuff.
Jeez and vistas.
Yeah. Until then, bye-bye, everyone, and be good and come on, England.
Yeah,
all right?
Come on, England.
Bye-bye, all.
Bye, everyone. Have a lovely time. We're finishing with Blur. And Girls and Boys, this is all about sex, I think.
What does it mean? I never quite understood.
Well, girls banging with boys and boys banging with girls and then girls banging with girls and boys banging with...
Just
do what you want, I think. It's hedonism.
Crazy.
Hedonism.
Well, be careful. If you are going to do
that,
just be careful.
Use protection.
You get something nasty. Until next time, bye-bye.
Streets like a jungle.